I'm not doing it because I think it's a setup. The call I got from, did I tell you or Alfie? The Tony Shalette from Irving PD called me about emceeing an event.
I believe you told Alfie. I am unaware.
Why do you think it's a setup?
Because Tony just kind of glossed over it. He called today and he said, "In I think it's April, they want me to emcee the Texas Tactical Police Officers Association conference."
Nice. Why are you worried?
Because I know that just because of Tony, they're going to plan some type of accolades.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I thought for a second there you were worried about them using you as a prop during a drill.
No. Not really funny, but I guess a good guess.
Apple on head.
Because had Tony said, "Hey, we're having the conference and we'd like to present you with something," he knew I'd say no.
Yes.
And what really would an MC do at a tactical conference for police officers from around the state? He said they already have a keynote speaker, so I don't have to do that.
That's good. No pressure there.
That's why furthers my thinking that it's a setup. Because if he said keynote speaker, then that means I'd have to write something. He knows I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going.
Go! If Tony says it's emceeing the event, I'm sure that's what it is.
Oh, I'm sure that's what it is as well. But not all officers from around the state are going to know who I am. So you know there's going to have to be some type of... I'm not being egotistical. I just think something's up.
I think he just realizes that you'd be a good choice to MC. You're a friend of police. You obviously know how to speak in front of a crowd.
Kenzie, hit the button that says take. Take it off. There you go. Sorry, having to direct two shows at the same time.
I understand.
What were you going to say?
What I was saying is that he knows that you can handle yourself in front of a crowd. You're a friend of police.
Mm-mm. When I accepted the award from the Texas Municipal Police Association for the state, the only reason I went is they threatened me.
They did. I do remember that vividly. Great bodily harm.
But then after they... That's all the things the foundation's done, who we've helped, you get up on stage. Who am I? I'm a 6-foot pussy. Can't say anything, choke up. So what I want to do is cry in front of a bunch of cops. And the thing that made it the worst, the biggest thing that stood out with when they gave me the award 7-8 years ago, whenever, was when I took the stage, there was one police officer in the front row that stood and applauded as hard as he could. Well, that's it, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth the grief. I shouldn't be punished for having a foundation for fallen police and fire.
You're the only one that sees it as punishment.
They do it just to make me f***ing cry, I know it.
That's not the only reason they do it. I think that's just on occasion a bonus that they feel like picking on you with. For the most part, it's, "Hey, Russ, we have this event. It'd really help us out if you would MC it."
I still think there's something malignant about this.
What's so ironic to me is that you started a foundation to help fire, obviously, as well as police, yet you were so distrusting of them.
Yeah.
And I don't mean South Lake.
I don't need the accolades. I don't need the thanks. Really, if the foundation was going to dissolve, it was after I got screwed around by South Lake PD.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a decent test on its own. How committed is he to this now?
Right. There it still stands. Strong as ever.
So there's no reason. Get a chief of police. Get Captain Howard. Somebody with some stature.
We all know if you don't do it, someone is going to be pounding on the door to get into MC.
No, I think they could probably keep damn it, what's his name? Scott Murray.
Yep, there you go.
He's just like, I think he just cruises the market every weekend looking for something MC.
Yeah, I think the way it probably goes is him sort of just patrolling like Market Center in Dallas, over by the convention center.
Or just checking, Fort Worth, checking the Observer, the Dallas News, Fort Worth Telegram.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, an event.
Here's an event. I only know of one instance where he started emceeing. He wasn't even invited. He just walked up on stage and sort of took over.
Yeah. Like, I know there's, I saw in the Observer earlier
and I'm
this,
not making that up.
No, I know you're not. That's what's frightening. I saw in the Observer earlier this week, there's some sort of food convention, like a Zest Fest happening in Irving this weekend. I expect him to be there. Not sure what he's doing. Not sure if he's going to be there in any official capacity, but I bet he'll have a microphone ready to go.
And I bet he's got breakaway clothes over a tuxedo.
Mm-hmm. MC host superhero.
I don't know what he gets out of that. Maybe he misses the limelight of not being the sports anchor on Channel 5.
And besides that, maybe he just really likes emceeing events. He might just like that live, you know, and with an audience right in front of you aspect.
Why don't you go? You guys don't get enough credit. You work as hard as I do on the foundation.
Yeah, but it's your name on the foundation.
So?
I mean, you're more recognized than any of us as far as foundation and emceeing a large event.
We need to change that.
If you want, I'll go with you. I'll be there to support you.
Yeah, we'll all go.
We'll all get a table. And we'll clap for our buddy Russ, the MC. Hell, we may even get Everett to show up.
I'll go. Why would that be a big deal? What does that mean? Okay, I just realized that was a slam about 3 seconds ago.
But you're a defense attorney. You're not really tight with police.
That's not true. I have plenty of friends that are cops. I'm just
actually,
part of the process.
You depend on cops for business, so I guess. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're all part of the process. It's nothing personal.
Alfie, what's line one?
He's calling to try and convince you.
I'm just seriously, this is not some humble way to get attention. It didn't dawn. I initially told him yes.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's Friday night, April 10th. I said, what time's it start? He says 7, but we can push it off an hour if you think you can make it to... I think it's the Hyatt near the airport.
Gotcha.
Hold on. Yes, Stephen.
Hey, boss. Just wanted to point some out to you. You mentioned yourself that a lot of people in this room are not necessarily going to know who you are or know about the foundation. So you being there as an MC or even to get some sort of an accolade can help spread the word about the foundation and potentially bring more donors to the foundation.
I don't think so, only because this event's only open to police officers from around the state. There's no civilians invited. There's
like no family of or anything?
Probably that, but it's just police officers.
Well,
only one civilian.
Is it getting on the news or getting the newspapers?
Yeah,
or?
That's what the news is really going to give a rat's ass about that. I mean, personally, thanks, Stephen. I'd like to go just to look around because the whole thing is like a car show, except it's all tactical weaponry. Not cars, not MRAPs, but just new things that are going to be available to SWAT teams.
The conference looks badass. I'm looking it up online. They have training and stuff there too.
Oh my God.
You can earn, I guess, 20 to 40 hours of T-close credit.
This is Police Academy 5. You have to go. We all must attend.
Well, the other thing is we probably can't buy anything that they have on display. It's going to be for law enforcement only.
We'll give Tony some cash. Hey, Tony, I need some new uppers.
How much for a box of them flash grenades? Because I'd love to use those around the building.
Oh, my God, that'd be so much fun. Happy birthday!
If Tony swears to me there's not going to be anything going on, then I'll go.
I think it sounds like fun, especially since it's not something that may be open to civilians. It'd be fun if we could actually get in and take a look at stuff.
Oh, we can get in. But I don't. That was the hardest thing I had to do in front of an audience is accept that TMPA award.
But you did a very good job of it. And you were aware of it going in.
It's just something that I sent an email. I was swapping emails with a cop a few days ago. And I forget what he said. Thank me for it. It's like, you know, knocking off with the thanks. You don't like being thanked by people that you look up to. Then he's got to follow it back with, well, we look up to you and we say thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You thank us. They're all just a bunch of goose-stepping suckers.
And they all just responded, we love you too, Russ.
So if he swears nothing's going to happen, then I'll do it.
Perfect. And if somehow they try to sandbag you, you're the master of escaping uncomfortable situations anyway.
Well, I don't think in the middle of if there's a presentation, I can go, you know, I forgot to pee. Just give it a minute. And I won't be back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do every other time. You're like Quicksilver, man. Never seen anybody disappear as quickly and as adroitly as you.
Yeah. David Blaine guy or whoever, they ain't got crap on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that you disappear, but it's like you will have been gone for a period of time before anyone even notices.
It's like, how did he know?
And when was the last time anybody saw Russ? It was like 2.5 hours. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's already at home in bed. It's amazing.
So that'll be the only caveat. They promise nothing sneaky. And I'll go.
To a room full of SWAT guys. Nothing sneaky.
Yeah, you're going to take this award. I'm going to screw this Glock in your ear.
Yeah, there is no... I got to go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden you hear a bunch of clicking.
Yeah. And the thing he doesn't see or hear is the team fast roping in on top of the bathroom.
Why is there a laser sight on my penis head?
You're solid red.
That many lasers trained on
yeah.
me.
Look, he's glowing.
Tony even said, I forgot who brought it up. I'm not sure when they had their board meeting. And one officer brought it up, suggested I do the emceeing, explained about the foundation. Then it was a unanimous vote. And the guy that nominated me said, you know what? I may have to take him out for dinner, get him drunk to get him to agree to it. Even that guy knew because he said he's probably going to be suspicious.
Absolutely. See, they know.
And Tony said, you know, let me go the cheap route. I'll just call and ask him and I won't say anything and maybe he won't figure it out.
I think you could have a lot of fun with this.
I got to do is introduce people. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't want an introduction. I don't want anything. And that, you know, it could be egotistical on my part thinking that they're going to plan something. I just know how sneaky those goose steppers are.
I think you'll have fun.
What if they asked me to sing Merle?
Heavy is your burden now. Now that you've come out of your country closet, you have to embrace new and different things.
It just starts playing over the PA. The karaoke version.
Oh, man, it's his new walk-up music.
I can't stand it. I got to sing it.
All right.
Everett, were you aware of his coming out party?
I was not.
You knew that I sang Merle over the holidays.
No.
It's been a while since we've seen Everett. We've all been pretty sick.
Yeah, you were sick last time I was here.
Yeah, but I could lift.
You're okay now.
This was what was it, Chloe? A couple of days before Christmas?
Yes.
We were running best of, and I was up here working on stuff. And then, I got a call. I'll make this quick because I've told it like three or four times. Chloe came in and said, Gina's at your house. The alarm went off. For whatever reason, she can't shut it off. Frisco PD's on the way.
Okay.
I said, okay, I can call Smith Thompson. I can call Frisco. That's going to take too long. So there was a break in best of. I went, screw it. We'll just do traffic here live. I'll tell PD that Gina's okay.
Okay.
Let her go and everything's cool.
All right.
Then I figured we'd just go back into best of. And I don't know why I made the decision. You know what? We could probably kill a segment, just Chloe, Alfie, and me.
Yeah.
And then that lasted almost 2 hours. And then somehow the Merle thing came up. You know, the big wheels rolling.
Right.
And somebody called and went, I got $500 foundation if you'll sing it. I went, that's not playing out. And then a few minutes later, Ben Garrison, Walt's boy.
Oh, yeah.
Calls. He goes,
I got $1,000 for whatever it is they want you to do.
That sounds like Ben.
Yep.
And I knew once Ben promised money, that's cash.
Right.
That's golden. And a few other people, and then finally I just, all right, it's like 720. Ain't going to kill my ratings.
Right.
And we did it.
Nice.
And in the course of the 2 minute and 12 second song.
Yes.
Went back and averaged it out. We made $26.51 per second.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Good for $3,500.
That's awesome.
I think how long we always have to practice leading up to band performances.
Sure.
And that's just for $5,000, and that ain't $5,000 net because we have expenditures.
Yeah.
So that was it was almost like an easy white trash party.
Mm-hmm.
No grief, no leading up to it.
Yeah, no stress because you didn't know it was coming.
Yeah.
He barely remembers it.
And it's not like I had the music ready. I had to go to YouTube and pull up the karaoke version.
Can I hear a recording of it?
Oh, Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah, I haven't heard it. Anything that raises $26.51 a second, I want to hear.
I'll play half of it.
Oh, you can't do that. I got to hear the whole thing.
It's kind of repetitive. You get the idea. And then after that, all of a sudden, Kenzie wants to go on a road trip in a party bus and go see Merle live.
Yeah, he's coming to Oklahoma.
But it's sold out, so we can't go.
But I kind of figured he was already there.
New Braunfels is not sold out, so we're going, and I'm going to
I think New
Braunfels
is. Isn't it, Alfie?
New Braunfels is sold out.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah-huh.
Oh, you said it wasn't.
Well, it is now.
Yeah, the whole tour.
Y'all are lying.
No. Not lying. No.
But you said you were going to get tickets.
If it wasn't sold out. Sold out. Can't go.
Alfie said yesterday New Braunfels was.
How many times
sold
do we
out?
Have to say it's sold out? Which part is throwing you off?
I don't believe you.
Check it during a break.
StubHub.
Call New Braunfels, wherever he's playing. Or was it like the New Braunfels Aquatics something?
It's not aquatic. It was a
amphitheater.
That's it.
Okay, well, that's close.
I almost said atrium, so I can't really judge.
Help me, Jesus.
Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling. Gotta keep them going, baby. Big wheels rolling, moving on. White line is a lifeline to the nation, and men like Will and Sonny make it move. Living like gypsies, always on the go, going in the best know what to do. Hammering gears has got to be a fever, cause men become addicted to the grind. It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man. Yeah. And a steady hand to hold that load behind. Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, yeah, gotta keep on going, honey. big wheels rolling, moving on.
There's most of it.
I picked a bad day to leave my juice harp in the truck.
Well, you need a Jew harp.
Juice.
Oh. That's two completely different instruments.
Jesus. This is even worse playing it sober.
Damn gears has got to be a fever. Cause been become addicted to the grind. It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man. To set a hand and load that will be high. Big wheels rolling. Big
wheels. What?
I like it. I can see why you raise so much money.
Big wheels rolling. Gotta keep them going.
$26.51 a second.
And I don't know what it was. It's, all right, is he drunk enough and stupid enough to sing a Merle Haggard song on a rock station?
Look,
how bad is he going to blow it? This has got to be 2 minutes and 12 seconds, just pure entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You nailed it, man.
People out there doing all kinds of stuff, not making anywhere near that kind of money.
Yeah, it's just too bad it was only 2 minutes. Then the Chuck heard it and said, oh, we got to add a country set to the white trash party. Because it's white trash, why not?
Yeah.
And now we've got a steel guitar player ready for the band.
Really?
Called in yesterday.
Awesome.
30 years of playing the steel guitar, so he's probably got it down.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else?
Washboard?
I don't know. This has just turned into like some kind of band stew. We start with a couple of guitar players and a professional keyboardist, Chuck, and Mike Bryce from Back in Black.
A fiddler, I think, is what we talked about last night.
That was after the show.
Mm. What about a harmonica?
We have that. Travis, the bagpipe player, somehow has made himself the emissary of harmonicas.
Oh, I thought he did cowbell.
He does that. If it makes noise, he owns one.
All right.
I don't know.
Maracas?
I think Travis owns some of those. He wears them on his hips.
Yep.
Okay.
Sort of a cultural, you know, kilt thing going.
The Hawaiian drum. Island drum.
You know, really? You think we need more stuff? Because truly, it's going to get to the point. Now, if we throw in a steel guitar player, and I never thought I would have uttered those words, throwing a steel guitar player. Oh, we got 23 people. We're really going to run out of almost any stage you could play that we could fit. Unless we start double-decking the band.
Hey.
That was a thought. I like it.
We'll be back. We're 10 minutes late, aren't we? We'll be back. .342, first check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ Eagle. Traffic brought to you by Walgreens. Already a whole lot going on. Let's start off in Dallas. Westbound Woodall Rogers just before Field Street got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic, though, is still jacked up back from 75. This is also causing a backup on southbound 75 back from Mockingbird. Also in Dallas, northbound on the tollway right at Beltline got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic there's jacked up back from Walnut Hill, about a 20-minute delay through it. And Irving, northbound on the bush right at Northgate Road Construction has that left lane shut down. Traffic's jacked up back from 183. Into Plano, northbound 75 right at Spring Creek got an accident blocking the HOV and the two left lanes. Traffic is backed up back from Parker Road. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound Loop 820 right at Trinity Boulevard got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic there is backed up back from 183. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Goya. Clear skies tonight, 34 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 60. Right now, 52 at 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Oh, All right, you want to start with audio as usual? Got anything, or you want to go straight to news?
I do have one piece of new audio. Okay. This has to do with, depending on how you want to call it, Deflategate or Balghazi, the Patriots deflating their balls. Cut 13, this is on ESPN, I believe it was yesterday afternoon. Former NFL quarterback Mark Brunell, about his thoughts on Tom Brady and the balls.
Those balls were deflated. Somebody had to do it. And I don't believe there's an equipment manager in the NFL that would, on his own initiative, deflate a ball without the starting quarterback's approval.
This is somebody from the other team?
No, this is former NFL quarterback Mark Brunell.
For who?
A few teams.
Okay.
Jacksonville, Washington, to name a couple.
Okay.
Those balls were deflated. Somebody had to do it. And I don't believe there's an equipment manager in the NFL that would, on his own initiative, deflate a ball without the starting quarterback's approval.
Why don't you go home and cry about it?
I just didn't believe what Tom Brady had to say.
You seem pretty emotional about this.
Well, you know, it's disappointing because my experience is, listen, I started 151 games. There wasn't one game ball that I didn't put my hands on. So that was a tough one to swallow.
In other words, when he says, from a quarterback's perspective to your quarterback's perspective, hey, they just give me the balls and they're good and I go with them. I don't squeeze them a lot. I don't grip them a lot. That is contradictory to your experience as a quarterback.
It's very contradictory to my experiences. I mean, like I said, that is your livelihood. And you've got to feel comfortable with the footballs. You got to get them in your hands. You got to dig your fingers into them. You've got to make sure they meet your specifications.
That sounds like he's about to choke up.
That's why I think it's Trey Wingo from ESPN was asking him, just like, well, you seem like you're getting emotional about this. I'm like, well, I am. Well, I really like this guy.
If, you know, if he was playing more for just more than the money and the slight enjoyment, then you take, there's a, not honor, you feel like you're the caretaker of the team and the game and the fans and, you want to play fair. You want to win on a level playing field. You don't want somebody running around with saggy balls.
And, yeah, clearly he's, you know, Mark Brunell feels that way, but there are others that don't feel that way. And if they can find a competitive advantage, they're going to do that. And that's something that is now part of the legacy of the New England Patriots, in addition to just, you know, Spygate and all that.
Well, the competitive advantage you're supposed to have is pick better players, have better plays. Read the other team better. There's your competitive advantage. Running out there with underinflated balls. What a stupid news story.
And it won't go away. And it's so big that CNN has been covering it all week.
Well, I mean, not that there's a justification for it if, in fact, it happened, but it wouldn't matter if they were playing with Nerf footballs. The Colts wouldn't have won that game.
No.
And you don't think the advantage of having a ball that Seattle, mm-hmm. Brady?
New England.
Whatever. Where one team could hold on to the ball and the other team couldn't.
No, I mean.
Were there any interceptions thrown during that game?
Yes.
Well, did you think one of the other players noticed on the other team?
I think they did, and I think he brought it to the coaches and officials' attention at the time. I think it happened in the first half.
Ah.
Or maybe the third quarter. But still,
so that was pretty much the whole thing that started at least the inkling of an investigation.
Possibly, but also at one point in the third quarter, an official who was putting the ball down for the next play thought it felt a little flat, threw it to the sideline, and that was maybe where it started. I don't know. I don't know exactly where it started, but someone emailed me saying the official's got to have a little bit of blame on this because there's an official, at least one, before every play that touches that football. And if a ball is down 2 pounds from what it's supposed to be, you would think he would notice as well.
Possibly. It depends. I mean, it's not like they're going to grip it like the quarterback will or a player when they catch it. They just pick it up, set it where it needs to go.
Sometimes they have to catch it, though, because the players, as soon as they get up, will hurl it right at the official.
I don't know. I've never played. I have no clue. I couldn't tell you if it had too much air on an affair. I just think if Brady
mm-hmm.
said, I like the ball at 12.5, which means he's probably played with it at different inflations.
Yeah.
12.2, I guess, being the lowest.
Actually,
12.5 is the lowest.
Yeah.
Okay. then you realize 12-5 is perfect because you can tell the difference between 12-5 and 13-5 or however far they'll let them go.
Yeah, that's the top end, the 13.5.
So you know the nuances of a football and its inflation. And you can't say that you didn't notice anything.
And that's where you're right. And that's also where Mark Brunell points out, as other quarterbacks have, one of them being Troy Aikman, saying, and Aaron Rodgers, who just got bounced in the playoffs with the Packers, he actually likes his balls overinflated. So every quarterback, and it's true in other sports, if you're like a pitcher in baseball, you know how you like your equipment. Like a baseball player, there's a reason why they use the specific bat they use, because that's what they like. They like that length, they like that weight, they like tape on the handle, maybe not, whatever. It is a tool of your craft.
And do you think if they changed, slipped a bat in on a batter unknowingly that weighed half ounce too much, think he'd notice?
Yes.
Okay. Same thing with the football.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they all keep their stories the same of, we didn't do it, we don't know how it happened. How are you really going to prove intent?
I don't think they can.
I mean, I guess you could find them somehow on negligence.
I guess, but... if you're going to find the team on negligence, you have to go back to the NFL for being negligent as well, because as you pointed out yesterday, the NFL is the one that gave them the balls back.
They didn't test the balls. And here's the other thing. I mean, aside from
who didn't test?
This is a little bit off, but
who didn't test the balls?
Well, the NFL apparently didn't before the game started.
No, they did, but I didn't know this till yesterday. Dan said, you know, the NFL will inspect the balls on both teams, make sure that everything's snuff, right in flight, inflation. But then they give them back to the team. You check the balls because you didn't trust the team to begin with.
Right.
Why give it back to them? Just put it in a bin, have the officials give them the ball when they need one.
I bet they quit doing that.
That seems like that would be the easiest way to correct this.
Mm-hmm. That's how baseball, that's the reason why baseball,
well,
the umpire.
On. Everett was going to make a point.
Well, Tom Brady is a Hall of Fame quarterback, irrespective of how you inflate the balls. I mean, he's what? He's won three Super Bowls or two?
He's won three, yeah.
This will be his fifth, is that right?
We'll say it is. What about it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just, I have to presume that he's not behind this just because it just seems unnecessary. They're the best team in football. They're playing at home. They've been killing everybody all year.
Well, let's say he's not behind it, but he noticed something when he got the ball in his hands the first time.
Maybe, but I don't know that you're necessarily thinking in terms of, oh, gee, these balls are deflated. I don't know.
Well, and this is what he said during one of the interviews. He goes, you know, I don't think after I've picked the balls that I want,
right?
I don't think about anything else.
I just think, you know, you'd think he murdered an entire family the way the media is going after him in some outlets, and I just think it's maybe ill-placed. We don't know, as you say, Russ. We'll never know what the source of this was.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the NFL, well, our investigation will take a couple of days. Into what? All right, you got the balls. You checked them. They're underinflated. Now what? Where are you going to go with it?
Right. Unless somebody admits to it or you have video of somebody deflating balls, good luck.
When they give the balls back to each respective team, what are they set at that point? I'm going to guess on the sideline?
Yeah. Yeah, they sit on the sideline with an equipment manager.
Possibly there's video someplace of him if he's jacking with the balls.
And that may be part of the NFL's investigation. They may be going over sideline views on cameras and things. But ultimately what's happening is everything is being talked about with this as opposed to the game itself, and also very little about the Pro Bowl that's happening this weekend, which is already a weak event for the NFL.
Well, there's not a stink going on with the Pro Bowl.
Most people don't care about the Pro Bowl anymore.
Well, and that's probably why they're just still talking about this.
Mm-hmm. But if you're the NFL, it's better not to be talking about this, better to be talking about action on the field. Then again, the NFL's had issues with off-the-field stuff and how they handle it all year.
I don't know. This is an issue for me because I'm not watching the Super Bowl, and I still, at this point, I forgot who won the playoffs. Seahawks and the Clam guys?
Yes.
Got it. Can't wait. When is it?
February 1st.
Exciting.
Week from Sunday.
I wish it was then now.
I can tell.
Okay. Is that the only audio that you wanted to get to?
That's the only new stuff. Slow day. It's all about balls.
Okay. Well, then let's just start in this. We have time?
Yes.
All right. 3:54, Dan O'Malley is here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Friday, January 23rd, 2015. Birthdays today, porn star Gina Ryder turns 38. She starred in 331 films, including Fast Times at Deep Crack High 2, Hoochie Gotta Coochie, and Gapes of Wrath. Tiffany Thiessen from Saved by the Bell is 41. From Law & Order SVU, Mariska Hargitay turns 51. Richard Finch from Casey and the Sunshine Band is 61. Robin Zander from Cheap Trick, 62. MacGyver, or his real name, Richard Dean Anderson, turned 65. From the Pointer Sisters, Anita Pointer, 67. Rutger Hauer is 71. And Gil Gerard turned 72.
Well, any of the news? No, that was the other chick. Buck Rogers from the
25th
century?
Yep.
Is that right?
You got it.
I always go 23rd. Star Trek, whatever.
And on this day in history, back in January 23rd, 11 years ago, this superstar died from complications of diabetes at the age of 54.
These are going to be on your flash?
Yes.
Okay. You open your flash up. Oh, the sun's going to shine. Looking. This who what?
This superstar died from complications of diabetes at the age of 54.
I don't see him. Is it at 54?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking hard, Slick.
I know. I can see your eyes and your pupils.
Diabetes is rough.
Very much
so. Died from diabetes. You're gonna tell me I can't see the files.
It was Nell Carter, passed away in 2003.
Okay.
Then in 2005, this host passed away from complications related to emphysema.
Okay, this one's labeled. I'm gonna guess this is the one.
Live from the Russ Martin Studios in Dallas, Texas,
okay.
It's the Russ Martin Show.
What, you want to hear the whole thing?
No, there's...
Okay, Johnny Carson.
Yes. And in 1975, one of Russ's favorite old shows debuted on ABC.
All these files are jumbled. Give me a hint, maybe I can guess.
Starring Steve Lansberg.
Barney Miller.
Very good. And I didn't even start with Hal Linden.
Steve Landisberg, the only thing I knew him from was Barney Miller. And I think he did a men's clothier for a while, voiceover spots. But that's it.
It's pretty good. And 32 years ago in 1983, this show debuted on NBC, also starring a bitchin' van.
The A-Team.
That's right.
Didn't even meet the audio. Mm-hmm. All right, you want to go here?
Yes.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Never miss a moment. Even in the AM. The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
404. This is KEGO. Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Traffic still sucks. Let's start off in Fort Worth. Southbound Loop 820 right at Trinity Boulevard. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's jacked up back from 183. Also in Fort Worth, northbound 360 right at 183. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Carrier Parkway. Richardson, northbound 75, right at Beltline. Got an accident blocking the HOV. lane there. I'm so sorry. Traffic's jacked up back from the high five. All right, where the hell? Plano, northbound 75, right at Spring Creek, got an accident there. That's also blocking the HOV in the left lane. Traffic's backed up back to Campbell Road. About a 20-minute delay through that. And finally in Dallas, northbound on the Tolley, right at the Beltline, that accident there has been cleared out. Traffic still jacked up back from Northwest Highway. Listen to us all week long next week for a shot to win a pair of tickets to the Built Ford Tough Professional Bull Rider Show at Cowboy Stadium on February 28th. Details are at KEGL.com. Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Walgreens. Clear skies tonight, 34 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 60. Right now it's 52 and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, Chloe, what's the status on your homo date this weekend?
Ooh. We're going. No, we're not.
Oh, man.
What homo date?
There's a sales guy in sales that approached Chloe, asked him out for drinks. Initially, Chloe just thought, you know, some of the salespeople want to get to know the jocks, find out what they're interested in. It's easier to sell endorsements.
Sure.
And then he brought up that he was gay.
Oh.
Now he wants me to come over for a Super Bowl watching party.
With some of his friends.
I bet the Super Bowl is your butt gaped.
No. No. It's not enough.
Go to his house with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, he said, hey, you could bring whoever you want.
You know what you're going to pull.
I don't know. No.
Ain't going to be watching no Super Bowl. Be on that butt train to Georgia.
There will be no trains ridden.
They get enough of them. There's nothing you can do. Yeah. I know. I've been in prison.
Yeah, enough, once it's decided.
Enough of what?
Stuff. Like when I got raped by all the Chinese. They were pissed off that I was against Nixon going to China in 72. It's all the laundry workers. And they shoved all those tube socks in my butt.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Right.
That's when I got the nickname Ass Sock of C-Block.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't plan on having a nickname.
Hey, look, it's Nudie Kinsey.
Look at that, I'm a pony. So instead of Chloe just telling him no outright.
Right.
He's just kind of dragging it along.
Stringing him along, Chloe?
No, I'm stringing along. I'm just being cool, you know, I'm being nice.
That's stringing him along.
Yeah.
Being nice is saying I'm heterosexual, appreciate the offer. Because there's no reason for him to bring up that he was gay unless he had romantic interest.
Not necessarily. I mean, so you can. So
why don't we call? Sales is on the second floor.
Yep.
Why don't we get him up here? Why don't you guys kiss? See if you like it.
No.
See if there's connection.
You don't have to start with the tongue.
Hmm.
You never know
until
you try.
So let's.
Kenzie, you ever made out with a chick?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
If it presented itself, wouldn't you?
Well, depends on the situation.
Okay. Well, that's a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends on the situation.
Well, what's the situation?
Like if I get paid or something.
To kiss a woman, you do that.
Yeah.
Like so now
a grand or something.
So now we haggle over price.
Yeah.
Well, if someone's like, "Hey, I'll give you $500,000 or something," or I'll give you, you know,
how about $500 to make out with Skull?
$2,000, $5,000.
Why?
It's an interesting negotiation.
You don't think Cindy's attractive?
No, it's not that, but I mean.
Plus, you get the bonus. She maybe lets you play with those great big
b****s. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if I was Cindy, I'd be kind of insulted. It's like.
No.
All right, so $5,000 just to make out. How much to do scissors?
No.
Why?
Mm-mm.
You can't. It's just like kissing with different lips.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's true.
$50,000. Somebody wrote you a check for 50 grand. That's all you got
to
do.
Well, I want to go something realistic so I can afford it if she agrees to it.
That would be your dream. That ain't happening, slick.
But you want Chloe to go for free.
Yeah, because it's funny. Chloe.
And it's not entirely free, because Chloe would get, you know, a meal, drinks for his date.
Yeah, even the bar that the sales guy wanted to go to, they just call it the Grapevine.
Yeah, Grapevine.
Is a pseudo-gay bar. She called up, said, I'll pay for the drinks.
Okay.
So that way, with her paying for the drinks, you don't feel obligated to the sales guy and feel like you got to go home and give him some ass.
Okay, I did not think about that angle.
But, you know, if you feel so inclined, that's, I'm sure, an option.
I still think you're curious about this. Otherwise, is somebody had come up to me and went, gave me the same scenario. It's like, very kind, no thank you. I don't care what type of encouragement or, you know, razzing I got on the air. It's like, no thank you. Oh, broaden your horizons. No.
Right. And not only that, but if there was any question as to his intention for it, whether it was business or personal, you would clarify. You've been like, hey, business or personal? And then he would have told you.
But we haven't talked since. It's just been a couple of emails back and forth about what to do.
But you guys can't agree on a place to go, so this sounds like the beginning of a normal relationship.
No, it's not.
Because if it's a sales guy, you go, hey, you want to go get drinks? All right, if this is business, then here's where I want to go. And he didn't agree to go to Applebee's. He wants to go to either the Grapevine or
Stonely.
That.
Yeah. It would have helped your cause greatly, Chloe, if you had said, is this business or personal? And then that way, he could have told you, maybe even have taken his finger, put it across your lips, and said, personal.
And the reason I think you want to go, or maybe considering gay, because methinks thee doesn't protest enough.
Ooh, he went Latin on you.
Wow.
It's a twist nobody's ever used.
That's right. Not even Shakespeare.
But all of you guys have the assumption that he wants me. What if he doesn't even want me?
So are you afraid of rejection?
Yeah, so what if I get all wrapped up in this and I say that I like it, right? What's going to happen? What if he breaks my heart? Things happen. This weird stuff with HR. You know
what I mean? So you're open to going out with a guy. Now you're afraid just because you might get your heart broken.
Yes.
Well, go out with an ugly guy first.
Yeah. There will be no.
That way you don't care if you lose him or not.
No.
But if they've invited you over for a Super Bowl party, there will be tons of agape.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be the dip.
So you assume this why?
Because it just sounds like a plan I would do if I was trying to pick up a guy.
Yeah, make sure that Super Bowl party's on a Sunday.
Yes, that's of course.
Because if it's not, it's code for something.
We forgot to buy one of them big hollowed out bread things for the dip, so we're going to need you to bend over.
Oh, jeez.
Fill you with hummus.
I'm going to make my famous sperm and spinach dip.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Russ is right, though. You don't sound that upset. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound very heartfelt.
Yeah. Had the thing happen to Dan? Well, go out with him.
Why?
He obviously is interested. You go out with him.
That's fine. I'm not.
Well, maybe he doesn't mean anything about it. He just wants to go out.
Well, then he can say that. Otherwise, I'm just going to politely reject it because I'm not interested in him. And that's how you do it, Chloe.
Yeah, hindsight. That's great. No,
hindsight.
You can do it now. You're in the moment.
All right, in Chloe's defense, how many times have you ever been approached by a guy in the past?
Zero.
Okay, so you're not really prepared, and it's probably off-putting. And initially, you might think, okay, he's jacking with me. I'm going to ask him for drinks, then I'm going to tell him I'm gay, see where it goes. He may be straight, just jacking around with Chloe.
I hadn't thought about that.
I don't know. He was pretty casual about it. You know what? I wasn't really paying super attention to the conversation, just kind of like in passing. So
It could be all very benign, innocuous.
Innocent.
Innocent.
Exactly.
Or they may get you to the Super Bowl and rip your all the way to your neck.
Sometimes it's best to expect the worst.
I'm just going
to
show up with a crop of wrestling bitches or something.
It's not going to do any good.
Yeah, it will.
Sometimes bitches like to watch that.
No, they don't.
You go over there wrapped up in a big duct tape suit. Okay?
Chicks don't like to see that. You may have a freak or two call in, but...
I've heard that chicks like seeing guy-on-guy stuff.
When, where, how, why?
Not you, fine, Kinsey, but you don't speak for all women?
No, I don't, but...
You don't speak for most people. Especially the ones that walk on twos.
Jerk!
I think it would be worth a show content and just the adventure. Especially when it comes to that moment where everything's done and you're sitting there and he kind of leans over.
Don't do that looking at me. Come on.
Why? Could you see my jaw?
Yes, and other things.
There's nothing wrong with my teeth clean.
No, it's not that. Just the whole...
The tongue.
Just you coming at me. Don't do that. It's weird.
So you find me hideous as well.
Yep.
We already know that Kenzie does.
I am not.
I think you're a good-looking man. I could say that. I'm fine with my sexuality.
Well, I'm not saying you're an ugly man. I'm just saying
queer.
I just don't find you appealing because I am not gay.
That was rude.
I'm honest. Russ, constantly.
It's not rude coming from Dan. He's heterosexual. It's mm-hmm. rude coming from you, Kenzie, when you call me ugly.
It's soul crushing.
I didn't call you ugly.
Somebody did.
Mm-hmm. Dan said you're unappealing.
To me.
Him. He doesn't find me. You could look at a guy and go, all right, he's a good looking guy.
But he said you were unappealing.
To me, there are three categories of men. Pretty, ugly, not ugly.
So Russ is pretty?
No.
Probably the not ugly.
Exactly. Russ is not ugly.
Oh.
Like pretty would be reserved for like the Brad Pitt types.
Got it.
Like that guy.
Oh, well, so name somebody in your club. Fine.
There's no my club. What? I am not in the pretty club.
Yeah. What label have you been given?
Pretty little Dan just didn't come from anywhere. It's always...
Yes, it did. It came right out of you.
Everything's based. Jokes, stereotypes are almost always based on some foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Along with being blown way out of proportion.
But there's always the seed of truth.
And that's what's going to happen to Chloe this weekend.
Gotta get some seed.
He's going to get blown way out of proportion. If you want, I can put together that mixtape that you could give to him.
What mixtape?
Well, keep the lyrics.
Oh, no.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
That's totally, yeah, you do not have to go to any trouble whatsoever.
That would be a sweet gesture, Chloe.
I don't think I kept them. Let's see if I can remember.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my ass once more. I'm gonna be queer again. They're gonna put things in my ass. The loss. I'm gonna be queer again.
Hey, everybody.
I'm gonna be queer again. I'm gonna be queer. I'm gonna be queer again. No more loneliness, holy penisness.
I felt like I fell in something I couldn't get out of.
I think it's going to be a hit.
I didn't think about it, but I could flip around, big wheels rolling to like big logs pushing or I don't know. You know you want it. I tried once.
Let's say if I try it and I don't like it, chicks aren't going to like that afterwards.
Well, don't tell anybody and don't tell us.
Yeah.
After the date, say nothing happened. Nobody made a move on me. But don't push me too hard because the stitches ain't healed.
Oh, Jesus.
But he only thinks it funny until it goes too far.
What are you drinking?
Vodka.
Oh, really? Oh. Why?
It's a little cleaner. I just thought I would try it for a while.
Russ is trying to detox.
It's more distilled. Get a because I think some alcohol will convert into sugar.
That's not water, is it?
No, and what do you care if it is?
Well, because it's very off-putting. We've been through this before. I don't like it when you don't drink.
I'll throw food color into it then later.
Well, here. Then it could just be water with food color in it. I'm going to have to be suspicious.
Smell it.
All right, hang on.
Do you even know what vodka smells like? Just pull the cork out.
Hang on. Carry on.
Thank you.
I can smell it from here.
Smell like one of your clients.
It's not every day that your attorney, you know, wants you to keep drinking.
Okay. All right, I can't push this any further. All I can do is ruin relationships you're in.
Yeah. So, Clark, are you going out tonight or tomorrow?
Not going out this weekend. Remember?
Was that his idea or yours?
I think it was his. Yes, I forgot the last email. Hey, mail it. Let's not worry about this weekend. How about an invite to my annual Super Bowl party?
Are you sure you said annual?
Yes.
Yes.
This is critical.
So you've exchanged a number of emails.
Yeah, and he's never told him no.
How many emails?
I don't know, a handful. I don't really recall.
And as that unit of measurement goes, how many in a handful?
Okay, let's say at least six emails and nothing of
Let's say it's two, and he hasn't said no yet.
Right. And I'm just wondering how many opportunities he's had to say no.
It's just like you want to slightly leave the gape open in case he wants to come in.
Yeah, well, the gape is not open, and he hasn't said anything flirtatious whatsoever, even since the beginning.
How about if we take you out to Victoria's Secret? We'll get you something nice and buttless and crotchless.
If you promise to go and see me and all this stuff.
I'll do it. I'll try really? Some of it on.
Mm.
Really? Let's go. That's going to be awesome.
Most of my underwear is already buttless just because I'm digging my ass all the time.
Might as well be pretty.
So buying it new is really no big deal. To me, that's fancy.
Mm-hmm.
This is true.
Hell, and you may even find a nice thong you like. It'll save you some of the scratching. Let it do it for you.
Talking about me or Chloe?
Yeah, both of you, but mainly you.
I've got coupons.
For Victoria's Secret?
Yeah.
Are you just leading this guy on, Chloe?
No, I'm not leading
him. Are you trying to get
on.
Gifts out of him?
No, it's not. It just
it's almost like you're a male dancer taunting somebody.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe I would go, but I sure need a new car. Because, I'm actually at night, I'm going to law school.
Ooh. Do male strippers do the same thing that the females do?
I would probably guess they lead some. I've never talked to Randy Master Blaster. You don't have to. I don't know if they do it or not. I think in Randy's case, it's like if they're into him, he just gives it to them.
He doesn't even whip up a story. He just lays it on their shoulder.
Yeah, I already make enough money. I've already gone to law school. Suck this. And see, now this paranoia is going to hover over you like the ceiling of Damocles.
Sword?
I think that's a sword.
Sword?
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking Three Stooges. You know, when they threw the pie up and it stuck to the ceiling?
Yes. That's something different.
But that was close.
Yeah.
Going to hover over you and it's always going to bother you. What happened had I gone? What have I enjoyed myself? Is his build decent?
I mean, I think so. I can't really tell in the dress shirt that he was wearing.
Why don't we get him up here and you can get him naked and you can look at him.
Well, we still don't know if he's really even interested.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wrong one. Be with you in a second. White guy out.
Man, I may be interested. Get you over the house. Put on some soft music. Get you all worked up. Get that rim wet. You start bouncing up and down like an old Electra.
A what?
Car.
Oh. No bouncing, no jumping, no
buy
hydraulics.
You gifts. Get your legs up in the air like one of them chickens.
Chickens.
Then pound that ass like it's going to Georgia.
No, there's to be no pounding of any asses.
I'm going to teabag you and you're going to suck on the pips.
There's no pips.
There might be.
Anywhere around me. No. No pips.
We'll use plenty of lube so I don't accidentally get stuck in your ass and pull you inside out.
That's very generous.
Come on, man. Let's take that midnight train to Georgia.
No. There's no tickets. Sold out.
There's always standing room.
Okay, we're getting nowhere. You know, at least it takes more of a defensive angle. I'm not going, and if you keep pushing me, I'm calling HR. That's what I'd do.
Really? I don't even think there is an HR here.
Well, corporations still have HR. They're just, we don't have one in Dallas-Fort Worth. It's in San Antonio.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think. If he were to make some sort of move or some sort of flirtatious, you know, like I said, move.
I'm in file a complaint against us. We're the one pushing you, putting you in a hostile work environment. Hey, go get some crank.
Oh.
That's what I threaten us with.
Well, this is not anything compared to stuff what happened before.
Yeah, you might like it.
Really?
Might give you leverage to where we can't put you in this position again. Oh. File a complaint against HR. See how long you stay here.
Exactly. I don't think that's going to work.
Technically, he just made your HR case stronger.
Who, me?
Yeah. But he basically threatened him if he went to HR.
Yeah. Good HR, you're fired.
But it's all on the air, and you've said so many times stuff on the air doesn't count. So that would be automatically your defense, so that's out.
It's a good loop, isn't it?
It's a good loop. But, Chloe, you got to test it at some point. You can't let this man just run amok.
I don't think you should test something that you know that's not going to happen.
Everett, don't you have any clients that Chloe could go for a conjugal visit? Just to see if he likes it?
We could probably arrange something for you, Chloe, just to test the waters. Put you on the list.
Do you get conjugals at Lou Sterrett?
Not willingly.
Well, those aren't really visits. All right. At least, I tell you what. Never mind him. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
His wheels are turning.
Big wheels.
Oh, really?
You'll never do it, so I'll just do it for you. I'll send him a nice thank you. I can't go. I appreciate the effort, Chloe.
Oh, you really?
It's really sweet of you.
With a nice bouquet of flowers and a brand new plug.
No.
That says, let's try this out this weekend.
Yeah.
This is a favorite one that goes in my butt.
Still got brown on it. Oh, shut up.
Ugh. I'll buy a new one.
Yeah. We may actually have one from New Fine Arts.
Yeah. I believe we're going to have to send him a care package.
No, don't send him anything.
XXX Chloe.
Yeah.
No. You can't.
We can.
No.
New Fine Arts loves those baskets.
Now we will.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to be all over you. You ain't going to be able to shake him.
Oh, jeez.
They're probably already gift wrapping it without us even calling.
Oh, please don't do that.
You better start rubbing turtle wax all over your body. Otherwise, that DNA is going to stick.
Oh.
Especially now with that beard. You can come into work.
Oh, my God.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
4:37. Another update on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ Eagle. Traffic brought to you by Goya. Traffic sucks really, really bad right now. Let's get started off in Fort Worth. Southbound Loop 820 right at Trinity Boulevard. Got an accident there blocking the right shoulder. Traffic there is backed up back from 183. The same accident causing a backup on 183 back from Forest Ridge. Let's move over to Plano. Eastbound on the bush just after Hillcrest. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is jacked up back to Midway. Only the left lane getting by right now. Also in Plano, northbound 75 right at Spring Creek. Got an accident blocking the HOV and the left lane there. Traffic is backed up into Richardson back from Arapahoe. Let's go into Richardson as well. Northbound 75 right at Beltline. Got an accident blocking the HOV and the left lane. Traffic is backed up all the way back from Mockingbird. Both of those together, it's about an hour delay through that whole mess. And finally, in Mesquite, northbound 635 right at Oates. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is jacked up back from Highway 80. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Walgreens. Clear skies, 34 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny. And a high of 60. Right now, it is 52 degrees at 97.1 The Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Yeah, all of a sudden, people are fascinated with what I keep on my thumbnail flash drive.
I got a couple emails about that last night.
Why are people suddenly fascinated by this?
All right, a topic will come up, and we'll think, all right, I think we did a bit on that, so I'll just do the search.
Right.
And because I'm not good at labeling things, because originally, the folder that I have open right now is only meant for today's audio.
Okay.
So it'll always be easy to find. But even the date on the folder says October 6th of 2013. And for a folder that's only supposed to have, you know, like, whatever audio we've got for the day. This one has, where is it where it shows you how many items are in the folder?
I don't even know. You have to go back and then just kind of make the cursor hover.
I found it.
Okay.
1,042.
Hey, it's gone down.
I deleted a couple over the weekend.
Okay.
So, since I never remember what I named something, I'll just have to take a guess.
Okay.
And then we go off on a tangent because I can't find that, but I look at the file and go, I wonder what that is. Like yesterday, I think we... I don't know, it was piss or pee or whatever. The guy sent an email and went, I've got some words for your file search thing. Put in or asshole or ass or it or sucker or Dan Lewis because it's all the same thing, right? I never thought about that. Let's try Dan Lewis. I got Louisville Cops. Dan Lewis montage.
Hmm?
I think that might have been a bunch of songs that I slapped together. You know, that I've written about Dan Lewis in the past.
Gotcha.
And I don't think I ever wrote anything or finished. Let me see. Hmm. I call this one. It's like King of the Glory Holes or something. I forget.
That doesn't get unfamiliar to me.
I like I said, I never finished it. This one's Dan's got his knee pads on.
Okay.
Lord have mercy, Dan's got his knee pads on.
There's our favorite.
Same morning, up in the dark. I can never remember this one.
Yeah, no spark.
Head in the oven, ain't got no spark.
Yeah, we're a little off.
DFW Downs, Dan Lewis.
Oh. They're in the gate.
D Do you have any idea what this is?
Yeah, this is where...
I was doing fake horse races?
Yeah, I like this.
Just out of curiosity, let me see how old this is. This is only a couple of years old. Mm-hmm. I thought it was older than that.
They're in the gate, and they're off. Ludwig's Knuckles takes a quick lead, followed by Saul's Pretty Oranges. I'm not picking up my socks, and Josh Brent fails another one. Come up on the rail, Lieutenant Denzel's Big Black, and bringing up the rear, Dan Lewis's Career. It's I'm not picking up my socks, Saul's Pretty Oranges. Ludwig's Knuckles coming up to third. Coming around the pack and moving into first place, Lieutenant Denzel's Big Black, with Saul's Pretty Oranges coming up his ass, followed by Ludwig's Knuckles and Dan Lewis's Career. Oh! Dan Lewis's Career! He's fallen, broken all four legs, and committed suicide.
I like that one.
Can he finish the race?
Yeah, usually the horses just break one leg.
I want to meet this guy.
Dan Lewis?
Yeah.
Just think of the most egotistical, pompous prick
really?
That you've ever come across, and then multiply that tenfold and exponentially.
And then add a Dan Lewis.
Yeah.
Jeez. That bad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had decent qualities, or he would have been with the show as long as he was.
Yeah.
But.
He was very good at delegating.
He was. And he normally didn't cop the attitude with me.
No.
But I caught him one day chastising Dan O'Malley for something. And then that's when I went out in the hall and
you
went,
don't do that.
You talk to him like you talk to me. And if you do it again, you're out.
Gave me goosebumps.
Am I lying?
Nope, you're right.
And he did it again, I'm assuming?
Not necessarily, but he decided at one point he wanted his own show, so we helped him because we were his friends. This one says Dan Lewis songs enhanced.
Here comes a dingus to take a leak. He sticks his tongue through, hoping to tempt the bone. Making lunch money, Dan's got his knee pads on.
There we go.
Monday morning, you lie in the dark. Head in the oven, can't get no spark. Hey, 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 it's another Dan day. No need to get dressed, nowhere to go. Head to the front porch, time for a show. Hey, 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 it's another Dan day.
Really a happy song for me.
Yeah.
Beautiful my Hyundai. For you it's just another Sunday. When you hear Laura say that she loves you. Oh my. It means if you die. Birds won't sing, they spit on your feet. Collards like you, they feel so elite. Hey, it's another Dan day. Your life now is a cervical smear. Now you pick up pennies from queers. Hey, it's another Dan day. Beautiful my Hyundai. For you it's just another Sunday. When you hear Laura say that she loves you. Oh my, it means if you die.
Okay.
Can you send that to me?
Why? Do you even know the songs? They're all parodies.
I just want to put it on a CD.
It really is a great song if you're having.
I like it. I'm just like over here.
You're having a bad day?
Yeah, if you're having a bad day, you're just like.
Dancing, knee popping, head bobbing. It's another day.
It does. It just puts things into perspective.
It certainly does.
Got a bad day. My allergies are flaring. I don't really feel well. I don't have a lot of stuff written for the show. You listen to that, and all of a sudden the birds just come out and go, hello.
Glad I'm not Dan Lewis.
What's the latest with Dan?
East Texas.
Okay.
It was
K-Bus for a while.
I think he's back there.
And then he moved. I forget where. And they came back, and I don't think he's using his real name on the air, as if that's going to provide the anonymity he needs. Because somehow the listeners keep finding him and ratting him out.
Right. And where is K-Bus?
East Texas.
It's like Paris, East Texas, Pittsburgh, Mount Pleasant area.
This one says Dan Lewis demo. So that's one of two things. It's either the real one or the one that ever did train Dan Lewis.
Either way, we're stumbling upon greatness.
Is this a cop-out, playing stuff? Because, I mean, we just came off a best of a couple of weeks ago.
If it makes you feel better, guy on line two wants to hear this.
Hear this one?
Yep.
You can't fix stupid, so we gave it a morning show. Dan Lewis, weekday mornings on K-Bus.
Wait, what?
Molly Hatchett on the classic rock station K-Bus. Good morning, Dan Lewis here. It is 8:21, overcast and 74 degrees, and it's that time of morning where we play your Burger King Bass Ackwards hit of the day, brought to you, of course, by Burger King.
The only morning show in town clinically proven to add moistness where you need it most.
Absolutely. Don't want a chap or anything of the...
What?
It's that, just...
That's fake, right?
No, this is really Dan Lewis.
You added the moist line in. Yes, you did.
No. It's real. Straight off one is demo air checks.
Kai, good morning, Dave. How are you?
Chafed. Thank you.
Chafed. That's kind of an everyday thing. Once you reach our age, things start rubbing together.
Exactly.
And it gets bad.
Exactly.
Boy, not where I intended that to go. Greetings on the classic rock station, K-Bus. Good morning, Dan Lewis here. 7:26. It is fair and 61 degrees. Quick story out of the news for you here. Out of China, if you're a fan of watermelons, check the sticker on the side of your watermelon. I don't know how many of them would be imported into this area, but just for your own little bit of health advice here. Chinese watermelon growers in far eastern China are experiencing exploding watermelons due to overuse of growth chemicals. All right, good morning, 7:56. It is fair and 55 degrees. Just real quickly, I want to thank you, our listeners, for making K-Bus the number one most listened to radio station in the East Texas broadcast family. That gives me chest thumping.
You hear all the qualifiers that lead up to us? The East Texas broadcast family, meaning all the stations that whoever owns K-Bus.
Right.
Which is 3, 4, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
K-Bus is the number one in that
group. Oh, no. I got it.
Out of like six people.
That's why I was laughing.
It's like saying, we're the number one show in this room. Which he couldn't even claim.
7:56. It is fair and 55 degrees. Just real quickly, I want to thank you, our listeners, for making K-Bus the number one most listened to radio station in the East Texas broadcast family. That gives me chest thumping rights, at least for a while. I appreciate it. I love you all.
Dan Lewis. He's like that creepy,
thick-fingered, no-talent, fat-eating, backstabbing stick
that brings you candy. Weekday mornings on K-Bus.
All right, I ended that part.
Get over that moist thing.
Why? It's just funny to watch Kenzie listen to something
right. And
make the face of, okay, this is all fake. Nobody really did this on the radio that has a job.
Right.
And the fact that it talks about the moist thing then goes straight into grown men chafing, and that gets me moist for sure. Really?
Do you like men that chafe or not?
No. That was
I'm sorry.
Sarcasm.
I don't have that bell thing to... for a punchline.
I knew this show has been missing something.
I mean, who wants to think of grown men really, chafing thighs?
That's the thing that you're going to focus on out of everything else in there.
Yeah, you know
even
what?
Even Bo and Jim would listen to this and go, what a bunch of sh**.
I just can't believe they talked about chafing. Oh. And I mean, the rest was horrible, too, but geez.
And, you know, throw in the sound effects and then
oh, it was too many. I didn't know what was going on.
The bellhop bell.
Mm-hmm.
That's straight out of the 70s, 80s, morning zoo.
Right. LaBelle and Rhodey.
Yeah. This other one says News Dan Lewis.
Tonight at 10 on NBC5, a focus on Dan Lewis. Don't let this happen to you.
That's all that came up with Dan. What does the guy one want?
He's calling about you going through your flash drive.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, for all your country songs that are parody, someone that don't like country music that much, what's up with that?
Let me think about it. Dan's got his knee pads on. What was the other song? Beautiful Sunday, that wasn't a country song.
I didn't say all of them, but most of them.
This year was only two. How long we got? We need to go here?
Yes.
You want to give me another word?
Did we do ass yet?
It seems a little easy, but let's see what we got.
Oh, Everett.
Hang on.
Why do you think ass than Everett?
You just happen to be in my line of sight, E. No ill will intended.
What about chafing?
No, I don't even know how to spell chafing. This one's got ass in it.
I put floor lamps in my ass.
It's President Bush.
Yeah. Old stink-eyed Bush.
What is this one?
Asshole. A thoroughly contemptible, irritating, detestable person. Association with them places one in the most miserable and undesirable environment. See also
The Russ Martin Show.
All right. We'll be back.
We'll be back to The Russ Martin Show.
Broadcasting with an effective radiated power of 100,000 watts. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy's and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Walgreens. Traffic still sucks. Here's the very worst of it. We'll start up southbound Loop 820 at I-20 in Fort Worth. Got a stalled out vehicle there. Traffic's backed up back to Lancaster Avenue into Plano. Eastbound on the Bush right at Hillcrest. Still got that accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic there is now jacked up all the way back to Kelly Trinity Mills. At least a half hour delay through it. Drive to Frankfurt or something. Sticking around in Plano. Northbound 75 right at Park got an accident blocking the HOV and the left lane. Traffic there's jacked up into Richardson back from Arapahoe. About a half hour delay through that as well. Also in Richardson, northbound 75 just before Beltline. That accident there's cleared out. Traffic still jacked up all the way back from Mockingbird. So from Mockingbird to Park in Plano, it's at least like a 45-minute delay. Into Mesquite now, northbound 635 right at Oates, got an accident there blocking the right lane. It's also blocking the exit. That one has traffic backed up back from Highway 80. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Community Coffee. Clear skies this evening, 34 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 60. Right now, it's 52 at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
A couple more words on the search.
Yeah, let's try. Did you already try Everett?
No. Let me try poop.
All right.
Glass, poop, water. Okay.
We get Bill Gates to put the glass of poop water in what?
See, to me, that's an instant classic. Because that just happened this week.
I was trying to do Hank Johnson, and Chloe handed me a note with something on it. I couldn't read all of it. I was just throwing out random things, and then I'm going,
We get Bill Gates to put the glass of poop water in what?
Had you heard about that ever, what Bill Gates was doing?
I have no idea what you're doing, what you're talking about.
Bill Gates was, he's been working on this water filtration thing where he takes human waste, he's been funding it basically, taking human waste, turning it into consumable water for third world countries.
Okay.
And to prove his point, it was like last week or something, he had a press conference and drank a whole glass of it, saying, see, it's great.
There's nothing in this folder that says Everett.
Really?
Out of over 1,000 items on this flash.
That's shocking.
Not just Ev? E-V?
Have I tried Chloe yet?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Try Chloe.
Chloe rides the airbag. Is that when we put the airbag in the middle of a like a piece of plywood?
Right.
You had to stand in the middle, see if you could stay on it after the explosion.
No. Mm-mm. Didn't happen.
Let's see. Chloe in trouble. Chloe's prostate exam. Chloe finds the skunk. Dan always likes this one. I'm not really sure why.
No, but originally I was just looking at the story about the Ohio players guy that died.
I didn't even hear about that. When did he die?
Sugarfoot.
Why is that funny?
When did he die?
Sugarfoot.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to think.
When did he die? Egg woman.
Yesterday.
It still gets me. Sugarfoot.
Okay, let's try.
I love you, Chloe.
Let's try Kenzie. Let's see if I can find a short one here. She was playing the drums for us. This one I think we were doing finish the sentence.
Okay.
What does Sam's mom have a tattoo of on her foot?
Or not?
A foot.
Yes. Finish the sentence. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans.
Where SpongeBob lives.
And that's why she's still here a year later.
That's right.
We have something for you, by the way. Alfie, bring it in.
You got it.
Thank
really?
You. It's something small. It's not huge. It was just marking, I don't know if it's the exact day. Does anybody remember?
I think it is, because I was trying to figure it out the other day, and I thought it was like 13, 14, 15, but I think it is the 23rd.
Yeah. A guy named Brandon that tipped us all off.
Yeah. I have to tell her that.
She ain't listening.
This is so sweet. I did hear that.
You heard nothing.
Who was it?
Nobody.
Look at that.
No, I heard the name.
Michael Landon.
I don't know who that is.
That's why we said that.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? It's a big...
It's a cookie cake.
Right, what does it say on it?
It says, Happy Anniversary, Kinsey.
Yeah, we didn't want to confuse you. We thought if we got cute and put anything else on there.
Mm-hmm.
This is so sweet. Thank you so much.
We remember. We remember our friends.
That's right.
No.
And it's sometimes you. Mm-hmm. Taste it. See if you like it.
Thank y'all so much. This is really sweet.
It is, because we don't ever do that for anybody else.
Now, Everett, how long have you been with the show?
Oh.
Late 90s?
97.
You ever get a gift?
Not a thing.
See?
Y'all are way too good to me.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Dad.
Oh, thanks. She hands me the plastic top. Now I've got something.
Okay, I don't have time to watch her eat that. All right, 5:10. Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. An incarcerated man in a Colorado correctional facility filed a lawsuit against the NFL seeking over $88 billion in damages because of an overturned call. Terry Hendricks, a passionate Dallas Cowboys fan, is seeking $88,987,654,321.88 from the NFL in the wake of the controversial replay reversal in the Cowboys' NFC divisional round loss to the Packers. He names NFL VP of Officiating Dean Blandino, referee Gene Steratore, and Commissioner Roger Goodell all by name. In a handwritten lawsuit filed Wednesday, Hendricks asked for the sum of money for, but not limited to, negligence, breach of fiduciary duty, and also reckless disregard.
Why would the NFL have any fiduciary duty associated with this convict?
Maintaining the integrity of the game. That is part of what the NFL sets out to do.
They have a fiduciary duty to the teams, the players,
to
the owners.
Yeah.
But not necessarily the public at large. And you're also going to have to prove what your damages are.
Well, this is
you're
easy.
In prison.
Well, no. Here's the thing. He's not filing it based on damages towards him. He's filing it on behalf.
You, I don't think you can do that.
No, you have to have what's called standing to file a lawsuit.
Well,
you know,
like several people, if they wanted to get together, then you do a class action. But you still have clients. You can't just say, I want to sue these people on behalf of these people.
Right.
Even though the people, the behalf, they don't exist.
It'd be like if Russ went out and got in a car wreck and Kinsey wanted to sue them because of that.
What you just described sounds like America to me.
For the most part.
He says.
But he still has to prove damages on his part.
Well, let's hear him out.
Okay, what else does he say?
He calls the video review and reversal a fraud and a gross negligence that caused true injury to the Dallas Cowboys. He says also Dean Blandino, Gene Steratore, and Roger Goodell are wrong and have stolen a victory from the plaintiffs. The Cowboys' offensive line would have perfectly created an autobahn for DeMarco Murray to drive into the end zone for the score and victory. Hendricks, an inmate at Fremont Correctional Facility in Kenyon City, Colorado, states that he appears as counsel for Dez Bryant, all Dallas Cowboys fans, and all people in or from the Sovereign Republic of Texas. And he seeks the court's permission to move before court within 35 days. And in conjunction with the suit, he filed an application to continue with the case without paying court fees.
Of course, because he's indigent.
What is he in prison for?
I couldn't find it. I looked up on various stories.
It'd be funny if he was on death row and it's like, hey, you can't put me to death because I got this lawsuit pending. If he thought possibly that would be a way to slow down things.
Maybe so.
Yeah, this is a I even did a quick background check on the one that I subscribed to, and the only thing I got was just that he is incarcerated. He was eligible for parole this past November, but his mandatory release isn't until 2026. So I don't know what he's in for or anything.
Evan, is this immediately thrown out because there's no
standing is the big issue.
There's no standing.
Yeah.
Would it at least get before the court? And the judge says you have no standing.
Yeah.
Case dismissed. So like, it could make it that far.
Long enough to go away.
Okay. What if Dez Bryant made a statement and said, yeah, I'm not in on this? I mean, would that make it collapse even faster?
I think it's
ways to piss him off.
I don't think that's going to have any relevance to how incredibly quickly that doesn't go anywhere.
Can a judge dismiss a case even before it gets to court? They file the paperwork and he looks at this and says, no.
Well, technically, anytime something gets in front of a judge, it's in court.
I know, but before the attorneys assemble and you
like it just comes across his desk.
It would never come across his desk.
Who would stop it? DA?
Well, it. Possibly. It might not go to the grand. Well, if we're talking about a criminal case, which this isn't, it might not go to the grand jury.
No, I'm just saying there's got to be some type of filter that would stop all of the asinine lawsuits before it even got to a judge and wasted time.
There's been some legislation with regard to frivolous lawsuits filed by inmates, that varies from state to state. They've attempted to address that because there are a lot of guys like this guy, presumably, who just has nothing but time to file frivolous lawsuits. But generally speaking, if you file a civil suit, I mean, the only way it's going to get addressed in whatever fashion is that the judge has to hear whatever it is and decide whether or not it should go forward.
Let me ask you this, since I'm thinking about it. I can't remember. It was the assistant prosecutor for Dallas that was just fired.
Craig Watkins lost the election? Is that who you're talking about?
No. The guy that was
Just fired was a...
Oh, for DWI?
Yes.
I don't recall his name.
Okay. You know the story.
Yes.
Okay. During the stop, he refused the breathalyzer. He threw out racial remarks, threatened to get him fired.
Right.
If you had to defend him, which way would you go? Because he gave himself no options by everything he said.
Right.
Either you were drunk and you used that as a justification of why you said all these ugly things, or you were sober and you meant it.
Yes, and you're a jerk. It's a tough spot to be in if you're trying to defend that case, no question about it.
I mean, I
obviously you don't want to take the if you're fighting the case, you want to go the a-hole route and not say, yes, he was drunk, but no, he wasn't drunk. I mean, that's not much of a defense.
So I guess you just focus on the criminal aspect and let him deal with the PR stuff afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to say, yeah, he's a jerk. And
he really gave himself no out.
Yeah. You may not like this guy, but being unlikable is not against the law. You're here to judge whether or not he was DWI, and he wasn't DWI.
And he didn't blow, so we don't know what his BAC was, but it had to be enough to where he was an idiot.
They did take his blood, but they just have not released the results of that yet.
You're already in a bad situation. You know you're going to jail. Mouthing off at the cops. You know, had you said, okay, look, this is embarrassing. I'm an assistant
district attorney.
Right. One of you guys, I didn't hit anybody. Why don't you guys give me a ride home and just, you know, because it's not unheard of for normal citizens.
Right.
Close had it done before. He didn't ask for anything. They just said,
get them back.
Yeah. Tell you what, you get in the trunk, somebody can see you.
Mm-hmm.
he had a better chance of going that route if he was looking for any type of special dispensation.
Sure.
But to call him racist and they call the cops, he didn't use the word Nazis, but that's kind of what he was going for. And then now your attorney going, all right, you said what? Well, but at least I knew not to do the breathalyzer.
Yeah, that's one of those I would hope that the officers had the dash cam, and I would love to see that tape.
Yeah, it's, as you say, Russ, it puts you in a really bad spot.
It puts you in a no-win spot.
I mean,
if you decide to run, first of all, he's already been fired. But if you decide to run for office anywhere, you're going to have to justify those comments.
No question about it. I think private practice may be in his future.
And he works for the prosecutor's office. You're supposed to be on the cop side.
Yeah, but if you're...
I mean, for the most part.
If you're intoxicated, not that he was, but if he was, that may explain his behavior.
Are you sure that they took blood? Did you actually read that?
That was the story that I read. The last story that I saw was that they had gotten a warrant, I believe, to get his blood, and they just haven't released the results.
Well, if he's legally drunk, he wasted all those words. And,
mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can do if the blood test says you're out.
Well, there are some ways to attack it with the science in terms of how it was drawn and what may have happened after it was drawn. And
where they stored it. And
chain of custody. Yeah.
Techniques.
So there's some things to try and challenge that, but that's certainly...
Didn't a Fort Worth judge get off on the DWI because of the way the blood was drawn or stored or things that were added to it?
I believe that's correct. A couple of years ago?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I think it was a chick judge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they suppressed the blood test results. And then, you know, once that happens, they don't come in.
Does the officer's testimony, could that be enough to be convicted?
It can be. I mean, in Texas, there are three ways you could be convicted of DWI. One is having a breath or blood test greater than 0.08. That's one basis the jury can use. But in cases where you don't have a breath or blood test, how can a jury convict you? Well, the law also says if the jury believes that you're intoxicated and don't have the normal use of your mental faculties or your physical faculties by the reason of the introduction of alcohol or some sort of intoxicant into your system. Those are two additional ways, separate and apart from a blood test or breath test, that can result in conviction.
So if the cops say you were drunk, they can take that into consideration?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Officer, would you raise your right hand? Okay, thank you.
Was he drunk? Yeah.
All right, we're done.
Hopefully there's some video and maybe some other things to support that.
But I'm going to guess the answer is yes. Could you be convicted on DWI just based on the officer's testimony?
Yes.
Okay.
How'd you like that answer? It's pretty short.
It was. I'm just...
I don't get credit when it's short. You only give me a hard time.
I don't
really
know
lengthy.
How much weight the officer's testimony...
It's a double standard, if you ask me. I just want to point that out.
It's not a double standard.
I've been suffering under it for years. Hadn't gotten a single gift the whole time, either.
Take part of Kenzie's cooking.
Just saying.
You know what I was asking.
I yes.
Then I apologize. If you want, verbose it up.
I'm glad you said that, Russ. I have 9 points I'd like to make.
Along with subparagraphs?
Each with 3, except for the fourth one, which has 6.
To what extent, say it's not a mandatory blood draw weekend.
Right.
What can the cops do to actually get the warrant?
Well, that's just a policy decision. You know, they just, departments decide, hey, we're going to make this a mandatory blood draw weekend. And frankly,
but
I think,
what if it's not?
It doesn't change the law, is what I'm suggesting.
So if they wanted to push, even though it's not a blood draw weekend,
right?
If the officer wanted to push it, they could go find a judge.
Yes.
On the mandatory weekends, they have a judge standing by.
Presumably so. Presumably they're more inclined to draw blood on those weekends than on others. But you'll notice those weekends typically line up with New Year's Eve,
and this was weekends. Like July 3rd or 4th. I think.
Yeah, so I think it's more of a marketing tool. Not that that's a bad thing, but it just sort of heightens awareness and tells people, hey, it's a holiday weekend, mandatory blood draw weekend, look out, we're going to draw your blood if we catch you out there. So hopefully that's a deterrent.
Okay. I've never been so drunk that I would, first of all, mouth off to an officer, mouth off to an officer of the other race. Or of another race, and I certainly wouldn't mouth off to a cop that was the same race as me, the only one that could possibly save me. These other ones go off on me. And now it's all part of the police report.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get you guys fired.
Okay. I'm going to have your jobs on Monday.
Good, because you're going to need one to replace this one. All right, go
ahead. Okay. The company that produces SkyMall, the in-flight shopping catalog, seems headed for a hard financial landing. SkyMall LLC and parent firm Exhibit Corp and related subsidiaries filed for federal bankruptcy court protection in Phoenix on Friday, seeking a court-supervised sale of its assets.
SkyMall, do they even have a freestanding building? Like brick and mortar?
Where they sell stuff? I don't know.
I've never seen one in a mall.
I don't think so.
I've never seen one anyplace, so I just always assumed it was online. So how do you blow that?
Well, it's one of those things you see when you're on a plane and you go, wow, that looks kind of cool, and that's neat, and then you never think about it again.
That's exactly what it is. What happened is even their CEO in part of their filing said, in essence, I'll paraphrase, all the other distractions that are now allowed by the FAA with tablets and phones and electronics, their captive audience is not captive. Because before it was, you look at SkyMall and go, I'm going to buy this because it kills time. Now, people don't do it.
There are cool things in SkyMall.
There are. But,
hey, what's the other one, The Humlicker Slammer, whatever.
Humlicker Slimmer.
Is that the one that on airplanes?
Yeah, I've seen that on airplanes before, yeah.
But the Sky Mall, it's like, you look at that, I go, yeah, I need a cat-shaped rock that barks.
Some odd stuff in there, man.
And it's weird how you'll start to justify. You're like, first of all, you'd be like, that's cool, I've never heard of that. Not only must I have it, I need it.
Well, you know, with the tablets and the smartphones, you just actually can make a note of, hey, look this up when I get home.
Yeah.
So that in itself might have helped them. It's hard to believe that an online company that doesn't have a brick and mortar building, because, you know, these products exist all over the place, and the SkyMall doesn't make them. They just get an order. They go to the manufacturer, go, all right, send one of these out.
Yeah, and I don't know if they even had an online thing. It might have just been the catalog. I would assume they had an online thing.
I think there was a SkyMall website. So everything on there is gone?
It's going to be. Yeah, SkyMall listed Delta Airlines, American Airlines, and U.S. Airways as its largest unsecured creditors, according to the filing.
Did they pay to have the magazines on the planes?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they didn't just let them leave them lying around.
All right. I just sort of assumed that there was a deal or something, like you get a percentage of anything we might sell.
I doubt it.
Where am I going to get all my other stuff? Luckily, I got extra of them cat-shaped rocks that bark.
Buy more than one.
So on SkyMall, one of those things you put together yourself, it was a 1-to-1 scale of the planet Vulcan.
And I tell you what, if you're transatlantic, yeah, I want that.
I bought a harp for midgets. That's in case anybody ever showed up at the house as there was a jit.
Sure, yeah, that's actually
play the harp.
It's kind of you. It's very thoughtful.
Yeah,
I give it to a midget angel. That's where I bought my iron umbrella.
Iron umbrella?
Yeah.
Alfie sounds like he just coughed up a hairball.
Probably have something for that in SkyMall.
Because they went belly up. Does that mean I'm not going to get my whole 5-year subscription to Water Magazine?
Water Magazine?
Uh-huh.
You may have to wait to hear how the court rules.
Still haven't got my Scandinavian party mirror in the mail.
I think that one actually kind of frightens me.
Church, I wear the Pope hat with earbuds built into it. That way nobody can tell I'm listening to music.
I would buy that.
I got a dildo where the head was shaped like Henry Kissinger.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
.533, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is at KEGL's Like Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Walgreens. A whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Northbound on the tollway just before Northwest Highway, got an accident there blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up back I-35. Also in Dallas, eastbound 30. Right at Carroll, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's backed up back in Sylvan Avenue. In Fort Worth, eastbound I-20, right at East Loop 820, got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic's jacked up back from 35W. Also in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at 121, got a stalled vehicle blocking the center lane. Traffic there is jacked up back from Long Avenue. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound Loop 820, right at I-20, got a stalled vehicle blocking traffic. That has traffic backed up back from Lancaster Avenue. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Tune-Up. Clear skies in 34 tonight, tomorrow sunny. A high of 60. Right now it's 50 degrees at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling. Moving on. Big wheels rolling. Gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling. Moving on.
All right, Daniel, what else you got?
I also have, there are lots of ways to lose weight these days, yet we're an endlessly inventive and profoundly lazy species, one that believes it's possible to stand motionless on a vibrating plate and become Thor-like.
I think the vibrating plate is more just to kind of relax your muscles.
Tell that to some people that think it's a weight loss machine.
Well, I know that they've got that at Kevin's gym, the Performance Fitness. And
I don't think I've seen one in person.
I've seen him do it before, like if he was, one of his muscles was tense, he'd, even though it looks like a stand-up machine,
mm-hmm.
you just kind of lean over on it sideways and put his shoulder on it.
See, that's how I would use it. I'd use it to get rid of some knots.
But as far as losing weight, I don't think that's what it's for.
No. I forgot who did this, but Yahoo said, these are the 7 things never to try to do to try to lose weight. And they
one of them is to push a 500-pound sled and think you can do it.
That's not far off a couple of these.
And then part of your shoots out.
They left out
the prolapse.
I'm just telling you, you get too cocky. He's got Big Dan standing there. He's pushing a sled. I don't know what he's training for, some type of tractor pull. tractor. Or truck pull.
It might have been a tractor.
But he was just going back and forth, you know, probably 30 feet when I walked in the train. And he just yanked it around like it's just a wagon.
He's warming up.
He goes, give it a shot. Said, well, Dan, there's no way I can move that 3 inches. He goes, I think you can move it. Then I got it moved all the way down to 30 feet. He goes, now pull it back. And I think that's when my asshole shot out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel it?
No. I didn't feel it till the next day. Because after that, then we went and trained. And then I get up the next morning, and I've got orange grove in my ass.
Yeah,
that's what
it's
it
weird
felt like.
It gets so big so quick. You think you'd feel, because I didn't feel my.
And I didn't think it was ever going to go away. All I know is I lost probably 8 pair of underwear that week.
Oof.
Yep. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. So what are
that's okay.
7 ways?
Yeah, so seven trendy weight loss methods that most of us should probably just avoid. Vibration plates is one of them. Exercise on a regular floor burns calories, so the thinking is exercise on a moving surface should burn more, right? No. Research indicates that vibration plates are most effective in weight loss in conjunction with a good diet and training program. So if you have a good diet and
have
training.
Have we moved on to number two, or are we still talking about number one, the vibration plates?
That was vibration plates. Number two, box jumps.
Okay.
Box jumps involve jumping on a box.
I don't like those.
I know you don't. And I haven't done any box jumps since high school. And there's the reason for it.
Well, I think part of the thinking is you want to train with some of the things that are outside the norm. That's not on a machine where your motions are always the same.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe things in real life where you might need to jump up on something.
And to a certain extent, I can get on board with that. But to me, when you're doing some of the, like the box jump type thing, that's if you're training for a specific goal. You're an athlete. That's why I haven't done any of that stuff since high school, because that's when I quit playing sports. And also, I've seen so many injuries, and that's what they mention here in box jumps, of people hurting themselves on the box jumps. Sometimes you get a little cocky and you decide to put the box at the eye level. And next thing you know,
and there's a guy at Kevin's gym that can do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's impressive.
He's about clothes height, which is about, what are you,
5'7".
Are you sure?
Swear.
Okay. And they're just big pads. They stack on top of each other. It goes up to about his neck. And you'll stand there. He'll jump up on it in one swoop. And he'll go, all right. Who green screened out the wires? Because it just doesn't look normal. It really doesn't look possible.
No, it doesn't. Now, imagine seeing that when someone misses.
Well, if he misses, he's just going to land on a big thing of pads.
For him, good. But for most people, when they're doing the box jump, they miss, like I did once. You hit shin first.
Well, then you use pads, which is probably why he does it.
Yeah. But there are some that just don't have them. Another one, I've actually seen some athletes doing this, gas mask training.
I've seen that. A friend of close in mind, Mike Pasquale.
Squally?
Yeah. he wears that during heavy cardio.
The idea is to deprive yourself of oxygen so your muscles have to work harder.
And that muscle that's going to have to work harder is your heart.
And your lungs. And your lungs are not meant to be semi-suffocated. And your workout equipment should not come, you know, from a surplus store.
I could see possibly if you were training for a marathon, maybe in Colorado, Denver.
Okay.
Different atmosphere, not as much oxygen, so you're preparing your body for that.
Or even if
you're... it looks freaky.
Yes. Or if you're the member of the military and you need to have some type of conditioning and get used to that equipment. Another one, and I used to see a guy that would run around our building here do this. Haven't seen him in a while. Barefoot running.
What's the problem with that?
After 2010, when the so-called fingers footwear seemed poised to engulf the entire running shoe market, a study from BYU found that modern runners who transitioned too quickly into minimalist shoes had an increased risk of foot injuries, including stress fractures.
What's supposed to be the benefit of running without shoes?
Even Jesus had shoes.
In the book Born to Run, it was their idea that, you know, hey, we ran back in the day barefoot. We can go back to it.
Well, you can if you plan on running a lot barefoot. It's like when you're a kid, you run around a lot barefoot. The bottom of your feet get calloused, so you can do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Not that big of a deal when you stump your toe. Mm-hmm. But if you're not used to it, you stump your toe.
Uh-uh.
That's one of the if they incorporated that into Gitmo, just give me a Big Chief tablet and a pen. Let's go. I'm writing down whatever you need.
Yeah, it's like the guy
that are getting one of those leg cramps in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. I don't know how doing the barefoot running, you can go out on a public street and do that, because at some point you're going to step on something you don't want to. And because you're running, it's going to be full force.
There's some guy that won the Olympics doing some marathon barefoot. Some guy from Kenya or something.
Was he doing it intentionally barefoot, or he just didn't have a sponsor?
Yes. I mean, it was years ago, but yeah.
Maybe the Olympic track has been checked for different things, so he was safe.
But even in a marathon type situation, because they're on roads, a bystander, a spectator could flip something out there.
I don't know. I don't know where they run. I don't really care. I wear shoes.
As you should. Also, stop doing sit-ups and crunches. Despite what you learned in gym class, sit-ups and crunches are not the best way to turn a beer gut into a six-pack. Instead, they want you to do things like planks or side planks. Does a better job overall.
What about when you... Because they'll have me do crunches on one of the balls,
mm-hmm.
to where you lean as far back as your back will go.
Gotcha.
And pull yourself up. It's like stretching your abs as far as they can.
Mm-hmm.
That burns pretty quick.
It burns, and it's good for you. I mean, it helps to build some of that core strength.
Well, that's the whole idea is building core strength.
Well,
the whole idea is to build a core strength so your arms and legs don't fall the f*** off.
Yes. That's the thinking now. It used to be that it was, hey, if I do 100 sit-ups a day, that means I'm going to have a six-pack.
Now that's diet.
I know, but I'm saying that's what the thinking used to be. Also, the gluten-free diets. For some people...
I don't even know what that means.
Gluten is a wheat
gluten
protein.
Gluten is a natural occurring thing in wheat?
Yeah, it's a wheat protein.
Okay, what's wrong with... A wheat protein.
Some people have a legitimate food allergy to it. It's called celiac disease.
Okay, but some people have opted for it because they think it's living cleaner.
Yes, they think it's better for you because it's processed. If it has gluten in it, it's bad and will make you hold extra weight.
Almost any type of wheat product you're going to get is processed. So will they process it out?
No, there are some grains that don't have it.
Oh.
But the Mayo Clinic estimates that 1.6 million Americans who are eating gluten-free diets don't even need to.
I don't even believe in the organic aspect. Does anybody here shop organic?
No.
Some stuff.
I bet Alfie does.
Oh, he does. Absolutely.
Yo.
Organic? Shop that way?
Yeah, sometimes.
What are you worried about?
Nothing really. It's just sometimes it's...
You know, if there's no bug spray or anything on eating bugs.
Well, I know that.
Bugs are crawling all over your food.
Well, I know that, but
is that what you want?
No. I mean,
nice eggplant full of boll weevils.
No, I don't want boll weevil eggplant.
Because I've seen a lot of eggplants with boll weevils all over them.
I believe you.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere in this part of the country.
Bugs like to climb over eggplants.
It's their favorite.
Produce. I'm not that worried about. It's meat that I like organic stuff with.
Oh, you get trichinosis.
Yeah.
Laugh if you will.
You've been
the worms start coming out.
You've been faked into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all a big misdeception perpetrated by...
That's why they call it...
Trichinosis.
I think it's the first time we've ever teamed up, Everett Knuckles.
Yeah. Okay.
Well done. Only been since the late 90s.
I don't know. I thought organic beef was just they fed them a certain diet.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. Grass-fed. There's not water injected to chicken, things like that.
Not added hormones
exactly.
or steroids.
Yeah, if it doesn't taste as good, you know it's organic.
And it's more expensive.
Right.
All right.
And you have to go out of the way to get it.
Most stores carry it now, but I don't care. If I'm eating broccoli, I'm already eating something good for me.
Right.
I'm not worried about how it was raised. If there was anything really horrible in there, the FDA would have. We'll catch it one day.
Perhaps after you've caught whatever it was. And finally, tough mutters. People will do these, you know, like obstacle races, and it's really great and challenging, but some of them include mud crawling, rope swinging, spear tossing, barbed wire crossing, and things even with fire. But
oh, mutters.
Yes.
I thought you meant like your mom chasing you with a Hot Wheels track.
That would actually lose some weight.
You want some cardio?
The CDC has said about these events, participants need to be encouraged to seek appropriate medical care for post-competition diarrhea, especially bloody diarrhea, and to inform medical personnel of their exposure. Partly because a lot of the mudders, you're going through muck and mud. It's not the healthiest thing.
So they don't actually get clean mud that you could make on your own.
I guess not.
They just find swampy, muddy areas and run in it?
Yeah, and maybe that's a situation where they should have shopped organic.
Wear some weights and get in a swimming pool.
That's a great idea.
I know they do it. It's low impact. There are different ways to go about it. Yard work's not a bad way.
It's a start.
I mean, if somebody were to hand you a 6-foot-long hedger and go, hey, go swing this for a half an hour, you're probably going to lose maybe 100, 150 calories.
Yeah. You can get some ripped shoulders.
Maybe that's why my shoulder's a little bit bigger. Or they feel like they are, because I sling around yard equipment.
Yeah, I mean, you're working those muscles, and you're doing it, and yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Especially you get fatigued,
mm-hmm.
and you're too far away from the house to walk back. Well, I might as well just finish it.
Yeah, because especially if say
I have to do it fast, because I never know what's going to come flying out of those shrubs.
See, and you're mixing cardio in with it. It's interval training, because you're like, okay, you go from hedge to hedge, and you do it really fast, and then you kind of slow it down, walk to the next one, then really fast so you don't get attacked.
That guy's on speed.
Yeah, but something tells me he's not running as if he's running like a race. He's running because he's just in case running from something.
I'm trying to stay away.
That's two different styles.
Doing it a couple of weeks ago on the shrubs, the hedges, the very back side of the property. And, you know, I'll do the sides first. So I've got the hedge from return sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's one of the grip is here and the other grip is here. Okay. So that's, about a foot apart?
Mm-hmm.
And then the blades stick out from there, probably another 3 feet.
Whew.
So you've got, I don't know, we'll say a 6-7 foot reach. And I'm going at it sideways, and all of a sudden I see a hornet come out of there because they like shrubs. I never knew that till I got attacked by one. And it's flying around, and I'm trying to catch it with a hedge trimmer. It's like that's the biggest thing I hate. Yard work, I like. You get sun, you get exercise, not all the riding mower. Plus you get something accomplished. But I don't like the surprises that come out of the damn landscaping. And you never, even if it's just something small like a lizard, a gecko,
it'll still scare you.
You still freak the F out because you don't know what's coming behind it. I could be a gecko, and all of a sudden, that it's iguana mamas behind it. I think I may call a band that.
Iguana mama?
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a little gecko. It's being chased by a Komodo dragon.
Wearing a robe. That's the biggest thing I hate about that property, is everything's a surprise. That's when I told the landscapers, I said, why don't you go on back there with the shrubs I didn't finish? Cut them back a little further and lower so it doesn't take me as long when I'm doing it.
Yeah, let them worry about the hornets.
They obviously have something down because I've never seen a Mexican running across my front yard. And I don't know why. Have I ever been stung by a wasp? I think I have. Wasp and a bee. And that hornet, even though they're really small, that was the worst. That was the time I got a whelp on my calf.
Ugh.
It felt like I'd backed into an electric fence.
Yeah. I had a bee sting once, and even to this day, I think I was 5 years old, I still remember it.
What do you got, Alfie?
Most of those are crazy workout techniques. Guy on line four is a pest control guy calling about your ground wasps.
Oh. All right. Put him on hold. What's his name?
Don't know.
I don't know?
Hello?
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, hey, Russ. I was going to let you know that I do pest control for a living, and these things have also been doing the same things to us. It was something we just recently found out that they've been burrowing beneath the bushes.
And what do I do?
Well, the best thing you can do is what we usually do is I'll spray my chemical in there, or for homeowners, you know, just try to put some cayenne pepper in there. I would try to look underneath there, put some cayenne pepper underneath those bushes, and the next time they come in or come out, they're not going to be having too much of a fun time.
What is the stuff? I think it's mostly meant for wasps, but it's a spray. It's almost in a generic white can, and it says it discharges like 97,000 electro-something volts.
Oh, really? I've never heard of that one.
That works on wasps really good. I want to say it's dielectric volts. And whatever it does, as soon as it hits the wasp, there ain't no flying around. There ain't no thinking about it. It just, you know, delta go around, and it's down.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely have to look into that one. I mean, you know, we try to price our customers. We're a little small company, so I'll definitely have to take a look into that, though. If it's something we can do that will help our customers out, then yeah.
It's like maybe a couple of dollars a can. Judge Coors is the one that told me about it.
Oh, excellent.
He said, you know, awesome. Spray the bushes ahead of time. You don't have to use a lot because the stuff's, I guess, there is something about insects, and I think the word is dielectric, whatever.
Yes, sir. I've heard of that term. Yeah, I have heard of that term before in my classes and stuff like that. But,
or just go out there with a .45 and shoot at the bird.
Yes, sir. See, we try to do that, but inside the city limits, they don't like that too much. They seem to frown on that a little bit. The buckshot, the buckshot's not too much allowed.
I like the fact that you tried it before.
Yeah. It's any good pest control guy, involves some trial and error.
Or just get, you know, some diesel and some gasoline like Judge Coors and I used to do. We go in the backyard and tank fire ant beds. Mm-hmm. You want to be a fire ant? We'd shoot the diesel and the gas. The diesel would make it burn a little bit longer.
Right.
But the gas has a quicker flame rate, or it burns quicker.
Gotcha.
So we do it all over the fire ant beds. Then we'd light it. The ants would come out on fire, and then he'd stop on it going,
"Oh, my God." This man is in the justice system.
He's a farm boy. He knows how to handle them ants. Godzilla.
To see that, and the next time it's in some sort of pamphlet. What do you like to do on the weekend, Judge Coors? Play Godzilla.
How come you're drinking that vodka out of an unmarked bottle?
We had to clean it. Alfie just said it looks dirty. The cork broke, so actually you'll love this. This is the only cork that we have left for the bottle.
Right.
The cork broke.
Okay.
So we're on the air one day, and I went, all right, where's the bottle? Chloe goes, it's in the shop.
But he wasn't kidding.
They gave it to engineering. I went, ugh. And DJ, one of the engineers, he goes, is that the bottle?
The bottle.
They took it
back
seriously.
To the engineering section with all the tools and everything.
Right.
And rebuilt it.
Nicely done. Looks like you're drinking moonshine or something, though.
It does.
Unmarked bottle, clear liquor.
It feels odd, but it's not a big deal. All right. Any more of these, Alfie?
Girl on line six knows your pest control stuff.
Yes, Jennifer.
Yes. The name of this stuff you're talking about, dearie, is Spectracide Pro.
It's like in the big white can?
Yep. And you can find it at Home Depot. I was shocked at how well it works, because I'm like, okay, there's no colorful packaging and all this, you know, stuff like the other pesticides. But, man, I'm so afraid of wasps, I almost backed into a moving vehicle because one was flying at me. That's how I found this stuff, because I'm like, I can't have a damn accident
doesn't it say something on the can, like it delivers like 97 something? It's an unbelievable amount of dielectric volts.
I didn't see that. It's been a while since I bought it, but I was shocked at how cheap it was and how effective it was. Yeah. I mean, the wasp, it literally stopped them in their tracks. Like, the wings come up and they're frozen. But, man, look, don't try that on those East Texas red wasps, though, man. It doesn't work.
What do you have to use on them?
Huh?
What do you use on them?
A damn baseball bat. Or like you said, a 45.
Normally, you only use that on my husband. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Love you, man.
Right.
She's awesome.
Damn baseball bat.
You got to hit that with a Louisville.
Uh-huh.
And then when you show it to them, then you trash talk it.
That's right.
Looks like you messed with the wrong bat, amigo. That's all I know about the whatever she said, Spectracide, whatever. That's like $2 a can. And
sounds like a hell of an investment.
It's almost like you want to carry it in a holster. Because when they start coming out, I don't know how fast they are, but normally you don't see them because the hornets are maybe 3/4 of an inch and really tiny.
Okay.
It's amazing how much of a wallop they pack.
Ugh.
But then you spray them with that stuff, and then when they're dying on the ground.
Now what?
Do you ever go?
Let me ask you something, wasp.
I wasn't counting.
Do you ever go double barrel?
I've done it before if it's a large area.
Yeah.
I also learned to start wearing long pants. I mean, they still get at your arms, but because they're coming out of the shrubs.
Yeah, they come out low.
Yeah, I think you can see them. But it's not like the day that, whatever it was, when I lived in Plano, that thing was coming up out of the dirt. I had these holes in my ground that I didn't know if they were. Almost kind of looks like a hole that the crawdads digging holes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of the dirt at the top after they dug the hole was kind of granular. You know, just kind of small.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I was dating Michelle at the time. I told this story, didn't I?
He might have. I don't know.
And I showed it to her before. She goes, I don't want to know what lives in there. She goes, why don't you flush it out?
I went,
then that means it's going to come out.
Yeah.
And it was in the side yard, and I came home one day, and we walked out into the side yard, and whatever it was started backing out. And she's going, shoot it! And it got, I don't know, just way out and maybe an inch off the ground. I popped that bitch.
That's how you control pests. Eat your heart out, Orchid Man.
It was just like an alien moment or just something where you don't really know what's backing out. And she screams. She goes in the house, slams the door, and she's screaming,
shoot it!
And I just got lucky and hit it.
Yeah. See, that's.
And then I walked in, I went, all right, who gets that sucked now? Who the hero, man?
Save your life.
All right, go here.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
.606, this is KEGL Fort Worth. Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic is brought to you by Goya. Let's get started off in Dallas. We're in front of the tollway just before Northwest Highway. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic is jacked up back on I-35. Also in Dallas, westbound 635 right at Plano Road. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back to Garland Road. Excuse me, to Sunnyvale. Eastbound Highway 80 right at Collins Road. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic is jacked up back to 635. Into Fort Worth now, eastbound I-20, right at East Loop, 820. Got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic there is jacked up back to 35W. And finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at 121. Got a stalled 18-wheeler blocking the center lane. Traffic is backed up back from Meacham Boulevard. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Now, we were watching it during the last commercial break. I don't know what city it was. I guess it was local, only because Sean Rabb was covering it. Officer body cams chasing a suspect near a church. And the suspect stops. The gun falls out of his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Stops to pick it up. And at that point, the officer, who I'm sure is telling the guy, don't.
Yeah.
Guy picks it up, gets shot. And then people start gathering around. I'm going to guess it was a white officer and a black perp. And luckily, if I understood it right, the pastor talked to the news and said that officer did what he had to do. Whew. I think it's the first time, I'm not trying to be racist about this, the first time I've heard a black pastor stand up for law enforcement that actually was vocal. I'm sure there are other black pastors that stand up for law enforcement.
It's just the one that you have seen.
Yeah. So I told Alfie, try and get Sean Rabb had time to talk about it.
He's on the hotline if you'd like.
Oh. Mr. Rabb.
What's up, my friend?
How you doing, boss?
Happy New Year.
What, and to you. I just... I saw part of the story. We were in the middle of a commercial break, so I couldn't listen to all the audio. Give me as much of the story as you have time to. Where was the shooting?
Muskogee, Oklahoma. Hmm. Here's the story. There was a wedding on the 17th at a church there. A woman approaches the pastor, says boyfriend or ex-boyfriend is threatening to kill her, has shown her the gun, says, I have a bullet especially for you. The pastor calls police. Police arrive. They spot the man in the parking lot. They've been given his description. The officer approaches him immediately and says, hey, take your hands out of your pockets. Do you have anything that can cut, stab, stick, poke, or hurt me? The guy says, uh-uh. He tells him to turn around. I'm going to pat you down, trying to put cuffs on him. And the guy bolts and runs. It's on. As he's running, and the pastor's outside along with other people watching. He's running. Officer's in the foot chase. Something falls out of his pocket, Russ, and he turns around to pick it up, and he's looking at the officer, and he has his hand on the object that's fallen from his pocket. At that point, the officer unholsters his weapon and makes the decision, split-second decision, to shoot. He fires five times in 2 seconds. Three of them hit the young man, Terrence Walker, from the Houston area, and he's dead. And backup officers arrive. There's chaos, as you might imagine. The pastor's rushing out there, other people. Backup arrives. They find the gun on the 21-year-old from Houston.
And fortunately, they could go back and review this because the officer was wearing a body cam.
He was wearing a body cam. In addition to that, the pastor substantiated, verified every aspect of the shooting, saying the officer did everything right. You know, it was what it shows us today, again, and we've seen it here in recent weeks, what it shows us is the importance of not only the body camera, so we all have a clear view of what's happened. Transparency, only 6 days later, the Muskogee Police Department released the video, but it also shows us the tense, split-second judgment calls that police officers have to make every day.
Yeah, and I think you said in the news story, from the time the guy that was running stopped and picked up the gun, the officer had 4 seconds to decide where am I going to go with this.
Yeah, he actually, yes, the totality of stopping at the gun to gunfire was 4 seconds. So he had about 2 seconds to decide whether he was going to wait and see what the young man would do.
And the initially, what I saw was the pastor was emotional. Let me go check on him, but he did acquiesce to the officers. He wasn't of what's the word?
He wasn't reluctant or resistant.
Yeah, he wasn't resistant.
No, he backed away. But here's what's interesting, and could have been potentially fatal, because the police officer is in a shooting scenario. He's actually shot someone. Imagine the adrenaline rushing through his body. Here comes someone running into the incident. Does he have a gun? He's got something in his hand. Turned out to be a phone. But what if the officer had turned and shot because he perceived another threat? He didn't do that. And that's a tough moment if you think about it. I just shot a man. I just fired my weapon 5 times. Man is on the ground, and somebody's running, screaming. And I looked to my left, and he never took the gun. Go back and look at the video. He kept the gun on the guy on the ground with his left hand, and with his right hand was motioning to the pastor, get back, because he didn't know who he was coming at that moment.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people don't understand, is even if they think an injustice is going on, if you become a distraction and this person isn't dead and they reach for that weapon while I'm distracted as a police officer, right. Somebody else could get shot.
Exactly, exactly.
I couldn't tell. Was this a black church?
Yes.
Okay, and the pastor was black?
Yes.
Okay.
Andre Jones.
It was just... I know this sounds like it's got racial undertones, but it was nice to have a pastor stand up for a police officer, because most of the ones, not all of them, but the ones that are vocal tend to just assume the police were in the wrong. And this pastor immediately stood up and said, this man did what he needed to do. He saved lives.
And he was a critical eyewitness, and he is the reason that Muskogee, Oklahoma, has not had a week of protests.
It's sad that we always immediately the officers are in the wrong. And sometimes they are. And there needs to be something done. But I hate to use this term, but pray God a pastor saw what happened.
Right. I'm glad someone was there to be a witness.
That was unbiased.
Right. And saw it all play out.
Okay. You working on, when's your next report?
Monday, my friend.
What are you working on next week?
I'll be on again tonight at 9 with the same story.
You working on anything undercover?
Russ, you'll have to watch Fox 4 News.
Hey, Sean?
Yes, sir.
Thanks always for being there for us. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, boss.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, now.
Okay. What?
Thinking about booking the two of you some cuddle time.
I like him.
I like him, too.
He's been in the market for a long time, and to me, that means a great deal if you've got equity in the market. I'm sure he's gotten job offers from other cities, larger markets, and he's decided, I'm staying here.
Well, I don't think he wants to go so far away from his tailor.
I'm sure that they have Imperial Tailors for news reporters other places.
They might, but he may have found the one.
And that hat store.
Mm-hmm. May have found his soulmate at that hat store. But you're right. Yeah, he's actually, unfortunately, he's a dying breed, because so many reporters now at other stations are young. They're right out of college. You've never, like, most of them look like they just went to prom. And I don't know if that's because I'm getting older and I'm noticing it more, but it's, you don't see too many old school reporters around anymore. So I appreciate it, because they know what they're doing.
Well, it's just like anything else. You tend to trust them.
Yeah.
It's like with Harold Taft and the weather from Channel 5. If Harold said it, just go ahead and plan on it. He didn't, and if he missed it, he didn't come back and go, well, the cold front stalled out, and that Spanky McFarland effect killed everything else. If he blew it, he just said, I blew it.
Yeah.
But very seldom did he ever have to say that. And that's what you want in a market, somebody that feels like this is home, and they feel some type of fiduciary duty to the viewers to, I'm not trying to be deep, but to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Larry Mowry's that way.
No, he's getting mm-hmm. there.
I think sometimes he wears that iPad on his hand just to scare us.
He does, absolutely.
I mean, if it's really bad, he's got that iPad on a swivel thing on his hand. because he's communicating back and forth with weather watchers, the National Weather Service, and NOAA, and the
storm
Ark
chasers,
and whatever.
Yeah, the Ark. Yeah.
Well, it works because we get scared.
It does.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he was covering live and he's like, okay, storms are here, what they are, and he doesn't have the iPad on, but then he goes off screen and comes back with it, and then he starts to slip it on, but then pulls it off. Starts to slip on, pulls it off.
It's like, all right, which way are we going with this?
Mm-hmm. He's like, then he's just messing with us. Like, it could be serious if I put it on, and you people know this, but I'm just messing with you.
Trying to find the clip that one day we called him where the weather was really bad.
Yeah.
Like bad storms.
How do you spell his last name?
MOWRY.
Oh, that's why I couldn't find it. I was typing in.
Ooh, there he is.
What's he covering?
Oh, he's at the stock show.
Oh, yeah. I heard on KRLD today, because J.D. Ryan still does reports for him.
Okay.
They assigned him to go milk goats.
Wow.
I mean, if you really want to send Dan Lewis a story to make him feel better about his life.
I don't know. At least J.D.'s still in Dallas.
But he's milking goats.
Well, I'm sure Dan has milked his share of goats. The only problem is it probably wasn't for work.
Yeah, just in his free time.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to impress the other goats.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I found it. I forget what was going on. I think they had just issued. Let's see what the date is on this. Friday. So it looks like I grabbed it on Thursday, April 3rd of last year.
Okay, makes
and
sense.
Were, that's when there were tornado warnings everywhere.
Yeah.
And Alfie just somehow got Larry Mowry to answer his cell phone over at 11,
mm-hmm.
CBS 11.
Okay. Hey, guys, how are you? I have to actually run real quick. We just got a new tornado warning for that storm heading towards the city of Denton. So I have to let you go. But if you live in Denton, take shelter now. We got a tornado warning for the city of Denton, okay?
So what are you doing? All right, we'll call you later.
Thanks, bro.
All okay. Right. And I'm kind of honored because there's going to be a few people that he's going to answer his cell phone on running back and forth between sets during tornado warnings.
I'm thinking we may have gotten lucky, though. Unless he's got the number saved in his phone, I bet he thought if he had a chance to look at it, it was one of the storm chasers or someone with a quick tip before he hits the air.
What are you doing?
I'm running back and forth, and there's tornadoes and ballistic missiles and locusts and honey badgers falling from the sky. It's honey badger-nado.
So what are you doing? Okay.
If he ever gives that report, I'm going to off myself.
Honey badger-nado?
Mm-hmm. I am not...
Damn.
The honey badger just ate the tornado. Okay. Where were we before we got off on that? But I do. I like Sean.
Oh, yeah. He's very good
people. I know we make fun of him and call him a shit eater.
But we like him.
We do. I'm only going to make fun of people and promote people that I like.
Yeah.
If I don't, I got no use for you. I just like him because he's always been kind to mm-hmm. us.
And that's the way you do with your friends. You give each other a hard time.
It's like Brett Shipp. He likes us, but I always give him a hard time.
You should. But then again, everyone gives Brett a hard time. The difference is you give it to him in a loving way. Most people give it to him in the death threat manner.
He was doing a story on us one time about whether I was really threatening Dan Lewis. Did you do that? That's your job to find out, newsboy. And he used that quote on the air.
That's hardcore.
Okay. Let's see. Pick up wherever.
Okay. Is the Super Bowl divinely rigged?
Ooh.
Well, 1 in 4 Americans say yes. 26% of Americans, 27% of self-described sports fans, believe God plays a role in determining which team will win a sporting event. And 53% of Americans say God rewards faithful athletes with good health and success. Oh, sorry.
The religious player that had the special pose?
Oh, Tebow?
Tebow.
Yeah. He was a religious guy.
He certainly was. Now he's got a hell of a desk gig at ESPN.
Yes.
From an injury.
No.
No.
Nobody wanted him?
Right.
No, right.
Okay. Where's your God now?
I'm sure some would say, well, you know, God had a different plan for him. Really? Because he's still working out thinking the NFL's going to call him back.
Tebow?
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard over the last couple of years since he's been out is that he's still working out, still keeping in shape, trying to keep his arm strength up, which is kind of funny.
Why is it nobody wants him?
They just didn't think that he could play it in the NFL, even though he won a playoff game. And everything. But honestly, when you watched him play, he couldn't make all the throws. He can make a couple of the throws, but he couldn't make all of them. And in the NFL, you need to be able to make all the throws, because if you can't, the other team's going to know that. And then they'll just focus on the throws that you can make, and they'll take those away. And then if they know you can't throw the ball 50 yards downfield, they know they ain't got to cover that guy.
They also seem kind of dingy.
Well, he's played a lot of football. And I don't know how many books he read other than the Bible.
I mean, it's almost like during a play, as you're rushing, he's got the ball. If you just walked up and went, ew.
Oh, and took off your thumb.
Make it look like you're pulling your thumb apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
He'd think you're the second coming of the Messiah.
Divine intervention. How'd he pull that quarter out behind my ear? I must give him the ball. He pulled a Susan B. Anthony out of my nose. And I don't mean the coin.
Yeah, there are some guys, kind of like we were talking about Marshawn Lynch yesterday. And I showed you his photo, his media photo, and he's kind of got the cross-eyed going.
Yeah, I forget. Why was he in the news?
Because he got fined $20,000 for grabbing his crotch in celebration of a touchdown.
How can they prove that was really in celebration? Maybe he had the D-itch.
He's done it more than once.
Maybe he got a problem. Look, how many women have the problem with this stinky boo, and they don't do anything about it? Bacterial vaginosis.
Well, no, I understand. I don't think that really applies in sports. Like during women's soccer, officials not going to pull out a yellow card and say, "Ew, it stinks."
Make for a more entertaining game, though.
I'm with you there. It's going to make it more difficult to fill the stands. However,
foul.
Did you celebrate the end zone? No, I got the damn cheese. It itches. And when it itches, especially around the ridge, you got to scratch it.
Awesome at a press conference.
That would have been a hell of a response from Marshawn Lynch to the NFL after they notified him of the fine. He just responds back, "I got crabs."
Yeah. Get a note from your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get a Red Lobster, throw a bunch in your drawers. See how bad I got them?
My God.
My crabs are so bad they come with popcorn shrimp. I'm just wondering if the NFL is going too far with fines. I mean, how long was he grabbing his crotch?
It's, you know, less than a second, but it's still...
But they'll do it on network television, TV shows, mm-hmm. sitcoms. It's a big deal.
The big deal is that on one hand, the NFL wants a violent, exciting game. But on the other, they want something that's family friendly.
What gets me too is penalizing players for celebrating a score. I mean, that's the ultimate goal in football is to score a touchdown. But then you can't be too excited about it.
The problem is the NFL is trying to dictate class to those that don't either have it, don't want it, don't care about it. And you can't necessarily do that because
But the fans get off on it. Now, who is a game for? The players, the owners, the NFL, or the fans?
Yeah,
because without the fans, you got dick.
I bet if you put it to a vote among fans, would you prefer to allow players to celebrate or not? The overwhelming majority would be for it.
Oh, I'm certain that they would. But
it's not like they all of a sudden... They score and then bring out this great big throw rug and some lamps and some balloons and whatever.
Well, that's what they're worried about. If the NFL comes out and says, okay, fine, you can do celebrations, then you're going to have the elaborate ones that then would take away, you know, the play of the game. It's just like, come on. Like, okay, can you guys hear up your celebration? It's been 5 minutes.
Can you spike the ball anymore?
Yes.
Can you hold your hands in the air in celebration?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can spike the ball at the pro level, not in college.
Or high school.
What problem does that cause?
It's celebratory.
It's unsportsmanlike.
No, it's not.
I'm just that's what they call it in the game. If you spike the ball in college ball, they'll say unsportsmanlike.
Even though in any other aspect of life, if you do something that's monumental and you're excited about it, you celebrate. Why would these guys be any different? Focus more on possibly counseling for domestic abuse and substance abuse.
Oh, they didn't care about that till earlier this year.
It's like the government is focusing on little things that have no consequence as far as the big picture.
Well, they also find, like, the same player.
Should we be able to pray in school? What the f*** do you care? You know what? You banned it, and things have gotten worse. Seems like that would be a nice little litmus test of maybe you should bring it back. Well, we're not really sure about the Pledge of Allegiance. That kind of sounds communistic. Suck my red
Okay.
They want to eliminate anything that actually may teach children values.
Well, why do those values have to be your specific religion?
They just say, you know what, just take 30 minutes to yourself. If you've got somebody you honor, you respect, somebody that's done something like Dr. King, want to think about them for 30 seconds, do that and about what they've done to better society.
And that's
and
what
maybe
they do
think
now.
About where we would be right now with civil rights if Dr. King had have never lived. Just something to think about, bigger picture, as opposed to, well, there's too much religion in the government. Well, it's too late. You're not going to do anything about it. And if you don't like it, just give me all your cash. Because all your cash has got religion all over it.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it needs to be forced. The 30 seconds of silence before school, fine. That's fine.
Do they still do the pledge?
For the most part, yeah. Kenzie, did they do it when you were in high school?
That's the flag and hand over the heart. Well, I didn't want you to think that, oh, we had to polish furniture.
You know she didn't see that coming.
Yeah. All right, we got a break.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:37, another check on traffic. Al Picoy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by State Farm. Starting off in Dallas, northbound on the tollway just before Northwest Highway, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is jacked up back on I-35. In Plano, northbound on the tollway just before Parker, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic there is jacked up all the way back into Addison, back from Arapahoe. In Richardson, northbound 75, just before the Bush, got a stalled vehicle blocking the HOV lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Campbell. In Sunnyvale, eastbound Highway 80, right at Collins Road, got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic is jacked up back from 635. And finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at 121, got a stalled out 18-wheeler blocking the center lane. Traffic there is backed up back from north of Bay 20. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Edgerton Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Tonight, clear skies, 34 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 60. Right now, it's 48 at 97.1 the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 the Eagle.
Now, actually, I meant to do this at the beginning of the show because I knew Everett had to leave early. Your new band is called what?
Pie Hole.
Okay. Where are you playing tonight?
At the Cellar in Fort Worth, 10 o'clock.
Where is that?
It is at 29-something. It's on Berry Street across from TCU.
Oh, okay. It's on that little strip right there. Right. I know what you're talking about.
I guess. I don't know. I'm Googling it.
Okay. Because Everett said, all right, we got a gig on Friday. Can I come in on Thursday? Well, you're probably not playing until late. Why not come in on Friday and promote it?
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't going to remember the next day.
That's right.
What's it called again?
It's called The Cellar. That's the name of the club. Pie Hole is the band. Come hear our great new singer. She's the anti-Valerie.
Wow. Whew. Man.
Man, that's ugly on two levels.
Yep. Yeah, it's on Barry, just east of University, so right across from TCU campus.
Do you know if they have a website?
I don't.
You came in to plug the thing and you had no idea.
Well, they got Google it, man. It's called The Cellar. It's in Fort Worth. It's across from TCU. Come right up on the internet, I swear.
Across the street from the Aardvark. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Is it on your website?
Oh, no. But you can find it. Just Google it.
The but Cellar. It's got to be easy.
It's easy.
I've been doing spots for D&M and Frankel and Rodney Anderson and Pro Flowers. And who am I leaving out? Somebody gets. I feel like I'm the Emmys.
Rodney Anderson, the Frankels, Star Power, David Pigeon,
Star Power, and people D&M, still yeah. email.
Right.
What's the website for D&M? Let's say on Google when you look. I don't know.
2916 West Berry, and it's on our Piehole Facebook page, actually.
And it doesn't look like The Cellar has a website, but they do have Facebook.
Yeah, and if you Google them, they come right up. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
All right. And what do you guys play? Is it all original?
It's all original right now. We're going to have covers too, but we're not doing any covers tonight.
Why not?
Because it's an all original venue.
Oh. I think people like covers from time to time, even in an all original venue, because it'll be your interpretation of an old song.
No, that's true. That's true. We're not doing any tonight, though.
Okay. Where'd you find this chick?
Craigslist. Laugh if you will.
That's so
come
awesome.
Here or sing and then see if you're laughing. She's awesome. She's really, really good.
Are there any demos of your songs on your Facebook page?
No, we're going to the studio next week. We just got together. It's a new band. It's only our second show.
Everybody new? New drummer, everything?
Yeah, everybody's new.
Why'd you clear everybody out?
Got tired of them. Had enough. No. Actually, this drummer's from Little Morphine Annie, but the bass player and the singer are both new.
Little Morphine Annie was the other incarnation of Everett's band. Mm-hmm. You ever thought about having a reunion and having Valerie back?
The Cellar's on Google. Just Google.
Clearly focusing on the present.
Okay. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Russ.
What do you got this week?
It's been a long time.
It's been
since before the holidays.
Yeah. Oh, has it?
Yeah, yeah. It has. Yeah. We've missed you, and the dogs have missed you.
Yeah, Mark texted me today. I forgot what what was the original text?
Originally, it was get well soon.
Yeah, and I sent back, who is this?
And how'd you get this number?
Well, on my text, if I don't have it stored, it just comes up as a phone number.
Right.
And I still have a lot of people text me where I haven't stored their numbers, and I have no idea who it is. Yeah, he sent, hope you're back to 100%. Take care, my friend. I sent back, who the F is this? He said, Mark Verma. I said, who?
Yeah. Man, I bet you felt special, Mark.
Right.
Well, you got my phone number.
See? Doesn't that make you feel better? You have his phone number.
That's true. I don't know where we're going to go with that, but.
What was the other job that, I don't know if you can say not, that Johnny took where she can't do these Friday things?
She half price books.
Oh.
At her corporate office. She'll be here, though. Doing cameos from.
Well, I told her that.
Right.
She seemed really sad. I don't know if I can work all this in. I said, well, you can still do cameos. I mean, just because we've been doing this for 20 years doesn't mean we'll miss you.
Aren't you on fire?
It's all right. Mark does good. He doesn't try and get cute when he comes in.
That is true. He's a straight shooter.
He's a
strictly business. It's all
he's
about
a little
the
rambunctious
dogs.
When you decide you want his drawers.
Not in front of the two ladies today, please.
It's like, I really need my pants tonight.
Oh, now they matter.
Yeah. Okay. What do you got this week?
I've got Drexel and Lulu today. We'll start with Drexel. Chocolate Lab Doberman mix, about 62 pounds, 2 years old, and has the Chocolate Lab look with Doberman markings, especially like around the eyes and that kind of thing. Very friendly dog, as you're noticing.
Two years old.
Just okay. Over. Two
I was
years
say
and
looks
two months.
Full grown.
Yep. Full grown, 62 pounds. He was in Dallas Animal Services. They were overcrowded. He was on the list to put down, and we actually pulled him at the last minute. He was.
Do you guys get a heads up from Dallas Animal Services of, okay, here are the dogs with just a limited time?
Absolutely. As soon as it's a process called tagged, meaning they're on the list, they're off to death row, we're on it at that point. Boy. So, yep. But Drexel is, he started attending events because he had to go through heartworm treatment and all, but he's now starting to attend events and he's available for adoption from us.
Yeah. That's the only reason we'll let Klo go out now.
Yeah. Had to wait for the results.
Yeah. Because you come in, he's dragging his ass across the carpet. You know, he probably has worms.
Clients show up. It's embarrassing.
So the black of the chocolate lab is, what's his name?
Drexel. Drexel. His name's Drexel.
You know his name?
Yes, he does, actually.
Drexel. Yes, you do. Come here. Sit. Sit. Well, pushing his ass down on the ground is kind of cheating. Okay, and the other one?
The other dog is Lulu, and she is a black lab mix, Lulu. Small version of a lab. She's only 38 pounds.
They switch back on you.
And she will not be recognizable to anyone who might have seen her a couple of months ago because she had mange, was homeless on the streets, didn't have any hair, was just miserable. And she was rescued off the streets. We have took her through a lot of treatment to get her over the man. Her hair's grown back, and she looks fantastic now, as you can see.
The more and more you tell these stories, they all sound like Klo.
And his hair's growing back, so.
Yes.
It's a he?
No, that's a she. And very high energy dog, to say the least. She's been dragging Miss Kristen around all over the place since we got here. But also 2 years old, by the way. And she's...
And all the dogs that go through Paws in the City, they get their shots, they're...
Get fully vetted. So in this case, one of them had to go through heartworm treatment, the other one had to get mange treatment, right? They're fully vetted, fully 100% healthy. They've had all their shots, vaccinations, spay or neutered, microchipped, ready to go.
So when somebody calls Paws in the City, just to speed up the process for them and you guys, what information are they going to need? Because they come in, you don't just go, all right, here you go, take the dog.
Well, there's an adoption application, and we screen adoption applications first over the phone, and then in person we do a home visit, and after the home visit we do what's called a meet and greet, and we do a play date, which means the dog spends 3 days, assuming they get that far in the process, right, spends 3 days at that person's house or apartment. And at the end of 3 days, we all make a decision on what makes sense.
Not totally far removed from the process of adoption or somebody fostering a child to see if it's a child that would fit in the family.
Absolutely.
Is that kind of close?
Similar. It's just a more compressed time frame.
Yeah, I'd recommended Paws in the City to this chick I know, and she actually got twisted about, well, they want to know if the dog's going to get along with my other dogs. And they should. In fact, the more requirements that they have, the better I feel about it.
It really is amazing because I've seen people do that. And it's actually, it was at a Paws in the City event that they had at Petco. And there was some guy who was complaining about the process and having, like, what do you mean you have to come see where I live and all these other things? He's like, you have a dog. I want a dog. Let's make it happen. And that was really half of the test is just seeing if you're okay with the screening process. Because if you're wigging out about that, then you really don't need this.
That's like getting stopped for DWI. Why I gotta take a test?
You don't. You're good.
Because we think you might be drunk. Well, I not?
Mm-hmm. And we believe you so much, we're going to give you a ride.
I don't need a ride. I drive my own car.
No, we've already towed it.
Oh. Well, look. I might have been drunk.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't driving.
So who was? Because it was only you.
This is my service dog. And the monkey, service monkey, was hitting the pedals.
Unfortunately, the monkey has ridden the dog through the field. It's just you.
And I told Rachel, because she was the one having a fit, especially because she's got a rot at home,
mm-hmm.
which is fine as long as, you know, somebody goes out and checks and makes sure all the dogs are okay, and one of the dogs isn't going to come out in the fecal matter of the other dog.
It helps.
They take these dogs on for a reason. It's not a for-profit business. It's a business because they feel like they're caretakers of the animal community, which is fine. I'm a nice guy.
You are a nice guy.
Do you enjoy our visits together?
Absolutely.
She pulled her pants down. Let's have a look at your.
No, please.
It's our vetting process. Wouldn't everybody like to see Mark's?
Absolutely. It's Friday.
Yeah.
You girls? Yeah, both of them nodding up and down.
Oh, yeah. Did. Even the dogs are excited.
The dogs are always excited.
One of them's pink, Sal. That's the color of a moor. Maybe you need some lipstick.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
Maybe we should go to the events this weekend.
If you're going to, you better do it quick.
Okay. We do have an event tomorrow, Tail Waggers Tour, which was put together by fifth graders at McCullough Intermediate School. They have been working on this for a couple months, and it's a dog walk at Curtis Park in the University Park area, you know, Lover's Lane, just east of the tollway. Curtis Park, $10 to walk your dog in this dog walk, and all the proceeds go to us. There will be also raffles and food trucks there.
And in your situation, and it's no slam against Operation Kindness, but they got a grant from, I forget who the family was, but a lot of money, and they have a really nice freestanding building. They still need donations. Mm-hmm. But Paws in the City doesn't have a brick-and-mortar building. You guys foster out all the dogs. You find families. They foster them. And after a certain point, you run out of families, and you can only take in, just like any other shelter, so many dogs. And so my point is donations are really important for you guys.
A perfect example, these two are both in boarding because we have a hard time saying no, and so we didn't have fosters, so we have them, and they're in boarding with boarding partners of ours.
The two women you have here, are they both fostering the dogs?
No, both of the dogs are in boarding.
Oh, so who are the two women?
That is Chelsea and Kristen.
Are they married?
No, neither one of them are.
You married?
They're neither married.
What kind of sentence is that? They're neither married?
Neither one of them are married.
Oh.
Mark's only done this enough times to where he's still quite uncomfortable.
You got to realize he stays distracted about the location of his pants.
Yes. I can see how that could be problematic.
Constant paranoia.
Do you women like older fellers?
Oh.
Yeah, they're laughing. That's no.
I heard a sometimes in there.
Yeah.
Who said sometimes?
The one on the right.
The blonde or the brunette?
The blonde.
Because I'll take them both.
I think they both do, actually.
They both what?
Like older guys.
Yeah. I have money. Just to get your phone number, I got a couple of gift cards. That's my new pickup line.
That's actually not a bad way to go.
Hey, baby.
You walk around with a couple of Bath and Body Works gift cards?
Is it like a gift card and a 20% off Bed Bath & Beyond?
Woo! I'm ready to go out with you.
I even let you borrow my ARP card for a couple of days. Yeah, that's funny to you, Mark. Wait until you get old enough to get one.
Hey, I'm right there with you.
Are you?
I'm closing in.
Maybe we should hook up. Let's have a look at that of yours.
Mark, this is where you give the website and run.
Oh, thank you.
Just let me see the tip.
I'm contemplating it. No, actually, it's pauseinthecity.org.
There you go.
And we're also on our Facebook page.
Okay.
If you're on Facebook, like our Facebook page, but pauseinthecity.org.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you, sir, for coming by.
Thanks for inviting us. The dogs love it.
Get him down. Come on.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
Seven o'clock. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Last check on traffic. Alfie Coys and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by H&R Block. Let's start off in Dallas, northbound on the tollway just before Northwest Highway. Got an accident there. It's blocking the right lane. That one has traffic backed up back from I-35. Also in Dallas, eastbound I-30. This one just before Loop 12, Walton Walker got an accident there in the center lane. Traffic is backed up back from Beltline Road. Let's move into Garland, southbound 635, just before La Prada. Got an accident there. That one has traffic backed up back from Jupiter Road. Into Irving now, southbound Loop 12, Walton Walker right at 114. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up onto I-35 all the way back from Royal. About a 10-minute delay through it. Not too bad, but still crap. And finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W right at 121. Got a stalled-out 18-wheeler blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up back from North Loop 820. Listen to Cindy Skull next week at 7:25 in the morning for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see Seether and Papa Roach's Southside Ballroom on January 31st, plus a copy of Papa Roach's new album, plus a spot in the Papa Roach meet and greet, and you're entered into the grand prize to win a signed Papa Roach guitar, which will be drawn on Friday, January 30th. All the details on that are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Tonight, clear skies, and on the cold side, a low of 34. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine and warmer with a high of 60. Right now, it's 48 degrees at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Yeah, out of all the women that they brought up with the dogs each week, those were the two of the hottest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cute.
I had my glasses on. I could tell they were cute, but I couldn't tell anything about the bodies or anything.
My back was to them, so you have to depend on Chloe, Kenzie, and Everett.
Pick one for me, Kenzie.
They were both sweet. They were both pretty. But I don't know why I think that brunette. I don't know why.
Although what I asked, when I asked, are they married, the brunette held up her hand to show there was no ring. That means she wants to get her phone.
Yeah, that's proof.
And
yeah.
She did the scope, the girl scope.
I don't know what that is.
The checking out the guy, and she did, when you said, do y'all like older men? And she went, sometimes, and she did the hair thing, and she did the scope, which is from the feet up to the head with the smile like,
That's why I stood up, so she could get full view of what she's in for.
That's right.
Yeah, like
take it all in.
Who is that?
I don't want her to think she's kind of sitting in the chair. I was crippled.
See, you guys laugh, but that's actually smart on his part. Because she might have had that thought. She's like, well, he said older men, but she might have asked Mark, can he walk?
If we go out, do I have to change his bag out for him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Am I going to have to pump him up?
Is he a self-contained man? Does he have to wear, like, hoodies?
Mm-hmm.
So I went out with Terry Dorsey once, and, man, that was a night of just keeping him together. He took his pants off, almost spread to death, all the fat running everywhere.
Spread to death?
Spread.
All right.
Now, Bo Roberts went out with him once. He was a gentleman
because
he had emptied out his colostomy bag ahead of time.
That's how you know a good one.
Bo's going to pass me in the hall one day and just go ninja on me.
I hope I'm there to see it.
No, I thought they were both attracted. It's very seldom, you know, especially now since I don't really care. I mean, I look at chicks and go, yeah. Plug that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the brunette looked like she was, I don't know, maybe around 20?
Oh, man, you got me. I'm not even sure. If I had to guess, I'd say 25.
Kenzie?
She looked my age or...
All right, early 20s. That's still okay. They're into older fellers. Plus, told her I had money and gift certificates.
Yeah, she warmed right up to the gift certificates. I saw that right off the bat.
And I don't mind first date, maybe like a Chuck E. Cheese. Or
you going to get to know each other over the ball pit?
Ew, no, it's contaminated.
The ball pit?
Yeah, don't take her to the ball pit.
How do you know it's contaminated?
Because it's got germs. They don't have them anymore because there were like heroin needles in there and stuff. This was like 2 years ago. They found a heroin needle, a used heroin needle in the Chuck E. Cheese ball
pit. How do you know?
Google it. It was on the news.
Like the TV news.
Yeah.
You didn't just see it on the internet.
No. You can Google it, like Everett says.
Well, if I don't find it on a Google search, you're about to get sued.
Google heroin needle ball pit Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, they're probably going to appreciate this.
I mean, Chuck. No. Oh, no. Wait.
I meant Chuck F. Cheese. It was an offshoot of the company.
Totally unrelated.
I just remember not to use company names.
I did it again. I do it all the time.
Well, that's okay. That's just part of the ongoing process of not getting the piss suit out of you.
I meant...
But if you saw it on the TV news, if you're sure...
Not now. I meant...
No, there is no I meant. You already said it. Just let it go.
Chuck Berry cheese.
Chuck Berry's cheese ballroom.
If whatever you
I meant
found
the Longhorn ballroom. Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you're hopping in there, you deserve whatever you find.
Longhorn.
That endorsement's off the table.
Well, I told Mark to check out and see if anybody's interested and text me back.
So I think you got to be careful with Mark because I think he's the type that I think he might steal.
Yeah, I think he might block you. I was thinking the same thing.
Well, he might block it, but...
No, I don't mean block it just so you know. I mean block it for himself.
Well, that's what I mean. If they know they have the choice, especially if they're still listening,
mm-hmm.
they have the choice. Who are you going for? No offense against Mark, but ain't nobody ever taken my pants.
He didn't know how serious we were. He thought that was a joke.
Not a joke.
Well, he knows that now. That's why he's always on edge.
Okay, claim. A little boy dies after... No, there'll be no plug-in allowed on this website. I'm not installing...
I can help you out. It's false.
Okay.
Huh?
It's on Snopes. So yep. You didn't see it on the news.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
What do you have?
I swear. I remember.
Okay, you remember. What's it say?
Claim, a little boy dies after being pricked by a heroin-filled syringe in a playground ball pit. Status, false.
Oh, no, I didn't know he died.
What's the rest of it?
That wasn't in the news. The news was they found a heroin needle.
You can't mitigate the damages now. You've already said heroin needle and Chuck E. Cheese.
I never said the kid died.
Well, it's still a heroin needle. You think they're going to promote? Come and play in our heroin needle safe ball pit.
I read it online. These two kids went in the bathroom.
Online. You said news.
No, that was
Stop. What's the rest of it say?
Example. Collected on the internet 1999. This has a different fast food place, playground. Some of you might not be parents, but you may have nieces, nephews, blah, blah, blah. I urge each and every one of you to pass this on to as many people as you can. My name is blah, blah, blah. My son Kevin. Live in Sugarland, Texas. On October 2nd, 1994, I took my only son to a place for his third birthday party. After he finished lunch, allowed him to play in the ball pit. When he started whining later on, I asked him what was wrong. He pointed to the back of his pull-up and simply said, Mommy, it hurts. Couldn't find anything. I went to the emergency room. Died later that night. They found a welt on his left buttock. Upon investigating, it seemed as if there was something like a splinter under it.
Okay, that's the fake email that went around.
Yeah.
And the real story says what?
The claim about the Houston Chronicle's running story is equally false.
The main media did pick it up, and they found out later it was false.
Well, that's what I'm trying to see.
No, the email references a Houston Chronicle article that
right.
never existed.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's why you have to be careful, Kinsey.
Well, it came on the news.
Well.
Fake or real?
Dandy. But if it does, you don't mention a company in case it's not real.
Well, I do that all the time.
Yeah, so. Well. I'm going to sue them. My kid got a heroin needle stuck in his butt when he's playing in the ball of sharded glass.
There's glass in them, too.
Kenzie! Hey.
They have any balls in there?
No balls. It's just a room where you go in and it's like rained hammers. Call it the hammer rainforest.
I'm just keeping it real.
No, stop keeping it real.
They don't have them anymore.
You sound like a
they don't have the ball pits?
No, they haven't had them for years.
Well,
because of that.
Not it was. Well, they did.
My God.
I'm just saying.
Stop saying.
What do we have left?
I can continue.
Hang on. Let me look at my notes and see if we got it around to everything. You got the parents that are pressing charges against a school that saved a kid's life. Mm-hmm. Top 10 survival tips for surviving relationships.
Yep, have that as well.
I don't know what this one means. Look, things to look for in a woman. Normally, I look for heroin needles.
You know where I go to find a woman? I go to the ball pit.
Ball pit. That's where I find all my junkie bitches.
See?
There is no C. Mike is off. And cease with all the links to the auction where they're auctioning off a 1978 Firebird Esprit. I'm not buying Rockford's car.
Okay.
I looked at the link. It says it was one of the Firebirds used in the series and the Rockford movies that went through the 90s.
Yes.
But it's just a gold Esprit. It's not really that big of a thing.
You're right. It's terrible. It's a hideous vehicle.
It's not hideous. It's cool, but if I buy TV car, I want people to know what it's from. Batman, no problem. The Mach 5 seemed to confuse people. Mm-hmm. I think Everett was with me once, whatever. Somebody pulled up and went, what is that? Is that the Batmobile? Yeah. The 5 on the side is my phone number. She really thought it was the Batmobile.
That's frightening.
Starsky and Hutch car, not everybody knows that. I just like the Torino.
I would say a few more people would recognize the Starsky and Hutch car versus the Rockford Files, but not many. And the only reason more might is just because they did the movie.
Now, I did learn some things on the website where they're going to auction it off. It was actually a Formula Firebird, which is between the regular Firebird and the Trans Am.
Mm.
It's like the middle version.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took all the markings off that said Formula, took the rear spoiler off. That way it was a beefed up Firebird, but not to the Trans Am part. Because James Garner really did most of his stunt driving. He was the one that had to teach the other stunt drivers how to do the reverse 180.
That seems odd to me, that they'd be Hollywood stunt drivers and not know how to do that.
It was just one of those things of, all right, I'm going to show you one more time.
Step aside.
All right, so you did all this research on a car that you are not buying.
No, I just wanted to see the specs. Plus, it also said car is in, pick up the verbiage of film quality status, meaning they haven't really done anything extra to the car since it's been in the Rockford Files, mm-hmm. which means it's probably going to need some work. And I am done restoring cars. It sounds easy. Well, you just buy the stuff, put that in, buy these things. Well, finding those things are really hard. I got a couple of pieces on the Starsky and Hutch car, the 74-75 Gran Torino, that I need replaced. I can't find the parts online. I could go to a junkyard or whatever, or if you found somebody that replicates the parts,
okay,
they're normally like 10 times the cost of what it would have been back in the 70s. So it's a monumental pain. And the Rockford car, I was trying to think today, if I was forced to buy one more TV car, what would it be? And it's certainly not going to be the A-Team van. It's a van with a scoop, the top.
Mm-hmm. Jacked up.
Jacked up, black, with a red stripe thingy on it.
Hell yeah.
Big deal.
And the machine gun rack.
Can add that.
If you're going van, there's only one other option.
I'm not buying the mystery machine.
It's a thought. And you'd have the only one, potentially, because it's a cartoon car.
No, actually, there are a couple of people that have made them.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know. I can't think of one that really stands out. What?
No interest in the DeLorean?
No. I saw a story on that today. Is it a company in Houston? Somebody's taking all the DeLoreans they can find and turning them into the Back to the Future cars.
Okay.
Ghostbusters? You know that the Ghostbusters ambulance.
That's pretty sweet. Everyone, and there's no doubt what it is and what it's from.
They have one at something. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I saw the same one.
Well, I'm scared to say names of things now.
Oh, no, but you'll say Chuck and Cheese are throwing needles in the ball pit. In fact, there's so many needles in there, they just call it a needle pit.
I'm not going to say the name at this thing.
Don't
that
worry
I
about
went
it. If I wanted one, I'd find one. If I was forced to, probably the, I think it's 78 Trans Am, Smoking the Bandit.
That would also make sense.
76.
It was a 78.
No, 76. You should get a 76 instead.
76 only has two headlights. I like the four headlights.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like the two better.
Well, when
you get yours, you money. Can get the two.
Well, you know I'm graduating soon, right? So.
So what?
Well. When someone, when a child grows older and...
Their parents buy them a gift when they graduate.
Yeah.
We aren't your parents.
You say, you always say,
we're not
I'm your daddy. Say I'm your daddy.
That's a little different.
I never say I'm your daddy. I ask you a question. We got a couple minutes to kill. What TV cars are you guys fascinated with? If you could buy one and had the money.
I think the Batmobile's got to be the coolest.
To me it is, and that's why that if I had to start liquidating and downsizing for whatever reason, that would be the last one to go.
I don't blame you. It's a cool car.
Yeah, Kenzie, the day that I took her for a ride in it.
Oh, man.
It was like being in a one-car parade.
I'm sure.
It was unbelievable. People yelling, screaming, taking pictures. Coming up to the car.
People screaming, is that Kenzie? They did?
I felt really cool.
What about you, Dan?
Oh, mine's easy. Airwolf.
Man, you stole mine. You mother... Take it! Take it, bitch! Yeah! I got dibs!
So I don't know where that came from.
Do you even know how to fly a helicopter?
Don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shut up, Chloe. You think you a helicopter pilot?
I practice in the backyard.
You in a refrigerator box does not equal Airwolf.
If the FAA comes along, I just tell them it's a drone. See, not the Clampett's car, not the Flintstones car.
Austin Powers airplane with the rotating bed.
No.
No?
There's nothing really else out of the 70s that...
Well, see, you said TV. So, I mean, TV,
yeah, but somebody's going to call about, how about one of the Austin Martins?
That's where had you...
From James Bond.
Had you expanded it, I would have gone with what's going to be the new Aston Martin and the new James Bond movie.
Dawn of the Dead truck that they make to kill zombies with.
That's not bad either. Unfortunately, not very practical.
No. I don't know what it looks like.
It's just a big fortified, you know, beast.
That's got like.
But anytime there's a TV car, regardless of what it is, goes up for auction, I get the emails. Hey, there's a replica of the Fall Guy truck on the. No.
There's a replica Tow Mater.
What is that?
It's from the cartoon. What's it? Cars. Called Cars. And Larry the Cable Guy was the voice of it.
Don't you want to buy a talking car? Mm-hmm. They all got really good teeth.
They really do.
Somebody sent me a link when one of the Herbie the Love Bugs was on auction.
As much as you like your, you know, TV, film, movie, cars, no. You and Herbie, I do not see, no. Although I'd like to see you drive around in it.
Get whatever that car was. They drove around in the Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. I don't know, but it was freaky. But it had hot chicks in it. Mm-hmm. Possibly the 89 Batmobile.
As far as the Batmobiles go, the hierarchy to me is 66, 1, 89, 2.
Yeah. The rest of them in the sequels, no.
And the Batmobile from the new one, the tumbler thing, that's
it's cool, but
it's military. It doesn't have the race car aspect to it.
It has a look of somebody saw it. They go, oh, what it? If they have to ask you what it is, then the magic's gone.
Well, not only is it the first Batmobile, it's the first cool TV car.
Yeah, because that was before the, I think the Munsters.
Yeah.
The Munsters coach is the other one I have.
What about
that one's
Knight
cool.
Rider? Kip. Kip?
Yeah, Kip.
Yep.
Kip.
And all, and all
Kip.
Those, all
it was Kip and then the guy from Big Boys.
Running around, saving the day.
Yeah, a band called Winger.
The car's name was Kip.
It was. It was Kip, and the big boy drove it and served hamburgers. what do you got left, Dan?
The big boy statue?
Yeah. You know, the guy with the checkered overalls?
That's in Austin Powers and floating in outer space?
Absolutely.
Yes. Didn't notice that Easter egg, did you?
Easter egg.
You just had to throw something else in.
I'm sorry. It's my bad.
He has an Easter egg?
I apologize. This is my bad. Totally my fault.
I think you should get that that band from Dumb and Dumber. Chicks like dogs.
I'd try that only if I was having to do community service.
The sad thing is I could see you driving that with a big old smile.
What do you have left?
I have left. We never finished the pieces that are going to be in Luke Bryan's museum.
How is it? How old is Luke?
38, I believe.
Okay. How long has he been in country music?
I want to say about 10 years-ish.
It's a pretty quick turnaround to have your own museum.
Well, it's not his own museum. It's his own exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville.
Still.
Does he have anything to do with it?
Well, I'm sure he's going to have to donate some things.
Well,
to
I know,
it.
But I mean, did they approach him or did he approach them?
Oh, I'm sure they approached him.
Okay.
But yeah, so, it's like.
Well, so what were some of the other things that are going to be in there?
Some of the things that Luke Bryan in the Country Music Hall of Fame that I am going to have in my exhibit. I told you about the jacket that I was wearing when I hugged Garth Brooks. Also, my second place all district choir trophy from high school. I would have gotten first, but my choir teacher said I couldn't sing. So that's when I had my boys cut her pinky toes off.
Is that one real?
No.
The choir thing, not the pinkies.
No.
No. Do you still stay in contact with Garth? Do you get any mementos from Garth after the hug?
I've asked. I've yet to get a personal response. But I'm working on it. I never give up. I mean, a man hugged me twice, so we clearly have a bond. Also in my exhibit, because you guys are going to want to come see it in Nashville when it opens up this year, is my great-granddaddy's Old West-style spittoon. Now, I don't dip, so I've just been collecting my spooge in it. I think that'll be a hot item. Also, I have a lock. You mentioned Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
I have a lock of Garth's hair. And obviously he's bald, so I had to get it from his pee-pee area. This may also be a contributing factor as to the reason why he will not personally correspond with me.
Did you, like, frame it or anything, put it in a shadow box, and then label it? Garth Brooks hair?
I didn't label it exactly like that, but it was in a box. I kept it under my pillow. But I also have a...
Waiting on the pube fairy?
Amen.
You better not wait on the country fairy, because you're not going to have any teeth or coins to leave.
And sometimes what happens is...
You into religion? You love Jesus?
Oh, man, I love Jesus. I even have some of my songs are kind of religious-y, but, I mean, I'm even going to end this exhibit. It's going to be my own personal Bible. I got it signed by Steve Buscemi. I don't know why you're laughing. He's the voice of a generation, you know.
How do you equate Steve Buscemi signing your Bible?
Has Steve Buscemi signed your Bible?
No.
I rest my case.
Bam, not by said document.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get online and buy things that I don't really need, so I figure I should put that in the exhibit to justify the purchase. Like, for example, this is really cool. I got Ernest Tubbs' bathtub. Also, Nicolas Cage's hamster cage. And Winona Ryder's big brown beaver.
Was there any more?
Man, I got lots of big exhibit. My pomegranate Jamba Juice I had for breakfast this morning. There's a little bit left in it. My first diaper.
I even got a necklace that my mom used to wear. It has my foreskin on it. Oh, and I forgot about this. I also have this right here. It's my first restraining order. It's not from a fan. It's against me from Garth
Brooks.
All right. For more information on The Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com. To get signed up for The Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites, DJClo.net, DanOMalley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. You can also reach Everett Newton, the rock and roll attorney, on his website, DallasAttorney.com. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. Nikki Sixx is up next. For all things Talk Radio 1190, go to 1190talkradio.com, where Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right. We will see you guys later. Oh, Everett, where are you playing again tonight?
At the Cellar. Come see Pie Hole tonight, 10 o'clock.
Cellar in Fort Worth.
Google it.
It's on Berry Street across from TCU.
Can't miss it on the internet. All over.
Why is it I've got a feeling Everett's got business cards for Pie Hole? It says Google it.
You want one?
No.